Chilly. And welcome back, everyone. It is episode 121 of Thirst and Goal. My name is Franny. Across the table from me is Ben, and we are a show about NFL football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. Subscribe, and you'll get everything you need to know about the NFL and become a whiskey and beer expert just like us. Subscribe at our website, thirstandgoal.buzzsprout.com. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I am good, Franny. How are you?
Good,
this
Ben.
Evening?
Good. I'm always excited to get on the podcast. I can't wait.
I'm moping around for the last hour.
And yeah,
I'm like,
exactly.
And now I'm all happy.
Exactly. That's how I am.
Shows up. I'm like, make the shot. Come on.
Come
let's
on,
go.
Let's get this show started. Let's get the show going.
Let's get into the fun portion of the show or the fun portion of the night. Franny, how was your week this week?
It was a good week, Ben. It was a good week. I mean, this year has seriously flown by so far. It's almost May. Can
what
you
year
believe
is this?
It? I don't even know anymore. But it's almost May, and I cannot believe it, Ben. I mean, we were talking about planning our vacation already. I mean,
hopefully.
It was like New Year's just like a week ago, it seems, when we were out here having all of our scotches and whiskeys and just enjoying that night. And then it's already May, almost.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, it is crazy how time can move so slowly and so quickly at the same time.
Move slow at work.
Yeah, like during the days move just drag, and then all of a sudden you look up at the calendar, and you realize a year and 2 months or something like that has passed.
Can't believe it
since this whole thing started. But it's just mind blowing. It's mind blowing. Like I tried to call my mother today.
Yeah,
forgot to call my mother today. But I realized it
does happened. Does she listen to the podcast?
No, definitely not.
Well, if she wants to hear your voice,
she
can listen to the podcast.
It's been 3 weeks. I realized I checked my phone. I'm like, damn, I felt like it was last weekend.
You could just text her like, hey, I couldn't call you today, but we have a podcast coming up
podcast.
If you want to tune in.
At least my brother listens to it. Franny, what are you drinking over there?
Tonight, Ben, I polished off the bottle just now. Lost Republic Bourbon, something that I picked up not too long ago. Actually, it's probably been maybe about a month, maybe 5 weeks
or
so.
It was
That's
a
really good bourbon, and I have a little bit of Coke, a little bit of club soda to go along with that. What about you, Ben?
Bourbon from California, no less.
That's right.
I am continuing to milk this. It's proof that we don't drink that much.
You know what, Ben?
I am continuing to milk this bottle of Dutch Courage dry gin from Holland. It's a beautiful dry gin, and I'm going to try to up my game this week and next week and see if I can't polish that
off. They sourced the bottle from the same place because the bottle is
exactly the same.
Label is a little bit different. They got a little bit of wax on there, too. But yeah, it's a good gin, I'm guessing.
It's very good.
It's going very slow, Ben.
It is, yeah.
I'm very disappointed.
I'm milking this one. But I will up my game this week and next week. Friday, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Tonight, Ben, on the big board, we have our NFL news as usual. We also have a shout out to our new and loyal listeners out there. We have our feel-good story. Seems like it's about the Eagles, right, Ben? Because in the parentheses, I see the Eagles need some good news.
Well, God knows. I mean, you guys, Philadelphia needs a little good news.
We do need some good news.
Need some good news.
You have our new coach, Sirianni, doing rock, paper, scissors to see who he's going to try out at the combine. I mean,
that'll work.
Yeah, that'll work. I mean, maybe it's better than what the Eagles have been doing. Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
With their talent evaluation out there. Rock, paper, scissors is probably the better method.
Maybe a little Rochambeau will get him a better draft pick.
And we also have our stat of the week, which is something that I read on the agenda
last week,
but we're going to do that this week. And we also have our shot of the week. Ben has been yearning for a spicy shot. He craves these shots.
So you tried to turn me off of spicy shots forever with this one.
Yeah, actually, I have ghost peppers sitting on the table right now, actual ghost peppers. And once I brought them over, Ben's like, you know what? I don't know if I really want a spicy shot.
Yeah, so if you hear but after the shot, and we just sort of sign off like the old-fashioned television.
Start puking all
at
over
1
the place.
O'clock in the morning, you'll know that we decided to taste the ghost pepper. If we just
talk. See, I don't remember those days, Ben, when the TV just used to just go offline.
Yeah, like 1 o'clock in the whenever the network would sign off for the day.
No more
like
signing off.
12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, whenever it was, it would just go beep and would have like the colored lines on the screen.
That's when everybody went to bed, even the editors or whatever, like the people that took care of the station. At night, they just went home to their family, left.
Yeah, now it's like, here you go. Here's some reruns, and everybody loves Raymond for the next 6 hours.
Hey, I don't mind that.
I know.
Actually,
I know.
I would watch Isle of Lucy if it was on at that
it's
time.
It's definitely on at some point.
And yeah, so our shot of the week is a very spicy shot. We actually didn't use the ghost peppers. We have some habanero peppers infused in some tequila. There's some Cholula in there. There's some tajin on the rim. Those look delicious. Can't wait to try those. I'm sure Ben cannot wait to try those. We also have our beverage of the week, which is another bourbon. It is the Larceny Small Batch 92 Proof Bourbon. It's something that I had probably a couple years ago, but I've had so many bourbons since this one now, since we drink one. Well, we drink bourbons regularly on the show, and this is our 121st episode. And so I can kind of compare it some of those other bourbons that I've tried. You know, to tell you the truth, Ben, I didn't really love it at the time. I'm going to see if my taste buds have changed maybe since then.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I think this company, they make the old Fitzgerald as well, which is one of the best.
Did we try that?
I think we did. It's one of the better, reasonably priced, lower priced bourbons. Yeah,
and this one is also very reasonably priced. It's only about $23, you know, $22.99 on the shelf. So, you know, we'll see how that tastes. And we also have our beer of the week from right down the road from the 818 Brewing Company here in the San Fernando Valley, the Reseda Rye IPA Mosaic Session IPA. And I picked this up at Total Wine, Ben. I could have actually gone to the brewery.
It would have been more expensive, though.
It's on the way over here. But they have quite a few varieties on the shelf at Total Wine. They have their blonde, they have quite a few actually, and they're just sitting there on the shelf. I think they're sending a little too many of them to Total Wine.
Yeah,
they're not
exactly.
Maybe selling in large quantities, but we'll try this tonight.
For sure.
Then we also have our housekeeping to finish up the show.
All right, Friday, what's first up on the big board?
First up on the big show, on the big board, on the big show.
on
the big on board.
The big show.
I'm so excited.
On
the big show tonight,
we
Ben.
Have clowns and elephants. Oh man, at the big show.
And we have our NFL news.
Put your trunk under the tent and look in what's going on here in the big show. Look at the high wire trapeze artist up there. Okay.
It's a big show.
I'm done making
it. It is
fun
a big show.
First up, finally, in the last few weeks, we haven't had a lot of big news, but this week we did get a little tidbit of big news. Thank you, Baltimore. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, say the Steeler fans.
Yeah,
in a major trade between in the AFC powers, the Baltimore Ravens sent Pro Bowl left tackle Orlando Brown, who actually needs to sign a new contract the next offseason, to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs announced on Friday the deal gives Baltimore an additional first round pick, sources told Adam Schefter. The Ravens acquire three picks in next week's NFL draft, a first rounder, number 31 overall, third rounder, number 94 overall, a fourth rounder, number 136 overall, as well as a fifth round selection in 2022. The Chiefs get a starting left tackle in Brown, with sources saying that Kansas City will also get Baltimore's second round pick this year, number 58 overall, and a sixth rounder in 2022. Dum-da-dum-da-dum is what I thought when I read this trade. Franny, what say you?
I don't know why you would get rid
Baltimore
of...
Baltimore loves draft picks.
I mean, you have this guy. I mean,
that's a shit ton of draft picks for a left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, and when it comes down to it, maybe they just can afford the guy. But still, try to make it work out. I mean, you have a young quarterback still under center. You have Lamar Jackson in... with the Ravens.
They don't need an offensive lineman running around back there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, I understand what Kansas City is doing. They're trying to protect their young quarterback, but what are the Ravens doing?
And that was the issue they had in the Super Bowl, right? I mean, they're both of their tackles.
Yeah, I mean, that was just some bad luck right there. And I understand why they're picking him up, but I mean, still, what are the Ravens thinking? Moving away one of their best offensive linemen.
One of the best offensive linemen.
To a division rival.
Yeah, to a conference rival.
Oh, conference. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. AFC. Yeah.
My only thinking on this is given how well, I mean, give Baltimore credit. I think they're ranked either first or second, depending on how you measure it, over the last 10 years in draft acumen. They have had
they're
a lot
good.
Of really good drafts. So what I think here is, you know, Harbaugh and company and the general manager are just, they're stockpiling as many picks as they can get going into this draft, as well as late round picks next year, because they're so good during the NFL draft, they must see something they like in this draft or a number of players they like
but
in this draft.
But you see something that you like already on your team.
But that's
maybe you just can't afford him.
Because left tackles are like quarterbacks. They're not easy to find.
No. And I just don't understand it.
It's, I mean, but look at the number of picks. I mean, it's what?
Now,
number...
Now they have two first rounders, two late first rounders.
Yeah. I mean, you get number 136, 194, 31, 58, and whatever they got, the first round pick for this year.
I mean, yeah, that's good for you though, man. I mean, that's your division right
oh,
there.
Oh yeah. That's why I was happy to see it. I mean, you know, Lamar Jackson without his left tackle.
Yeah.
Or with a rookie left tackle that they're going to pick up in the draft this year. That made me happy. That's why I said, thank you, Baltimore.
I mean, I know Lamar...
My hopes are that they'll fuck this draft up significantly this year because we already got a deal with a revitalized Cleveland team under Kevin Stefanski. We don't need Baltimore to be even better this year than they were last year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they do well. They do a good job of spreading the money across their roster. I mean, they really do a nice job of having a well-balanced team both on offense and defense. So I do give them credit for that. This takes some salary off the salary cap because they would have had to sign him next offseason or during next season. So, but if I were Baltimore, I'd keep my left tackle.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Villanueva, you know, Alejandro Villanueva is going to move to right tackle in Cleveland. He took a contract this week with Cleveland, left Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Steelers, was our left tackle. He's getting up there in age, 32 years old.
Yeah.
But right tackle or left tackles especially are not easy to find in this league.
Just
and
like
that,
Jason Peters, man,
in
Philadelphia. Jason Peters, I mean, once he got up there in age, it was difficult to find somebody to take over that position. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler, you know, pretty much every year. But once he got a little bit older,
damn good left tackle.
One of the best. And you know, once he got older, it was difficult to replace that position. And you saw what happened. I mean, we don't have a starting quarterback right now.
Yeah.
And that, you know, part of it has to do with the offensive line. Once you start losing those players, those types of guys, I mean, maybe you find a guy in the draft, but you already have a known asset on your team that can play that position. Man, if you have to pay that guy, then pay that guy. I wouldn't move on from him because you just don't know what's going to happen in the draft.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was happy to see this particular trade go through. My only hope is that Baltimore will not do a particularly good job of drafting this year. Although, given their history,
you're hoping they don't.
I'm hoping they don't.
Hoping they don't.
I hope in Baltimore.
You know what
does
that means?
A shitty job.
You
yes. yes. I think I have to do a shot. Only 11 minutes into the show, I have to do a shot. But luckily, I have an item on
the. Do we have it? We have it
luckily,
on the table?
Oh
on the
no,
table?
You're gonna have to run in and grab that. I did forget.
Talk about the next agenda topic, and I'll run inside. And grab.
All right, let's do it. Next up on the big board is Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin wants to be part of the post Ben Roethlisberger era in Pittsburgh. The Steelers on Tuesday signed their longtime coach to a 3-year contract extension that runs through 2024. Tomlin, 49, is 145-78-1 in 14 years with the Pittsburgh Steelers, winning one Super Bowl and going to another, a loss to the Green Bay Packers. The franchise has reached the playoffs 9 times during Tomlin's tenure and captured its 7th AFC North title under him in 2020. I'm extremely grateful for this contract extension and want to thank Art Rooney II and everyone in the organization for their support in my first 14 seasons, as if there's going to be a second 14 seasons. Tomlin said in a statement, "We have a goal of winning the organization's 7th Super Bowl championship, and I couldn't be more enthusiastic about this upcoming season." Friday, Tomlin locked up for 3 more years.
It.
I mean, what else are you going to do?
You know, and that's why I respect the Steelers organization. You don't go out and sign a
Nick
new
Sirianni?
Coach every single
Doug
season.
Doug Peterson?
I mean, very few. I mean,
Chip Kelly?
There's been what? I know, seriously.
I can just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the Steelers, I mean, how many head coaches have you guys had? Really,
3 in my lifetime.
Yeah, really not that
Literally
many.
Literally 3 in my 50 years
on this
earth.
And that's the reason why this team has had so much success in all those years is because they stick with the same guy. They don't change, you know, coaches every single year, a new coaching style every single year that wants to bring in his guys, his players. You know, Mike Tomlin, he's a proven coach, has a proven track record. I mean, you just look at his record. I mean, it's pretty impressive.
145-78-1.
I'm still surprised that they haven't won as many division championships.
I guess it's 7. They're saying 7. Whatever that number we
yeah, but I mean, you know,
we gave out
10 and 6 is first season 12-4, 9-7, 12-4, 12-4, 8-8, a couple of 8, but 11-5, 10-6, 11-5, 13-3, 9-6, 8-8, 12-4. I mean, those are some really good numbers right there year after year.
We just stumble a little bit in the playoffs.
That happens.
But we haven't had to deal with the Patriots.
Exactly.
And a lot of other good.
And now
the Chiefs.
Now, exactly. And the division is also stronger now with the Browns actually looking pretty good. The Ravens have always been a solid football team. the Bengals were decent for a time
for a number
there,
of years, yeah.
You know, under was it Marvin
Lewis?
Marvin Lewis, yeah. So I mean, you know, the Steelers in a tough division with a few of those teams there at least were able to find some success, and even the AFC, which, you know, sputtered along a little bit there. You know, they weren't able to win a Super Bowl. He has one, 1-2. But no, I mean, his track record.
Hence my Aaron Rodgers hate.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I completely agree with the Steelers in signing him to extending him another 3 years, and you know, I believe he can definitely find some more success. I mean, obviously, Roethlisberger is getting a bit older. We'll see when a new quarterback comes on board what Tomlin can do with a new quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
he's had Roethlisberger's entire career.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine that they could do better. I mean, obviously Bill Belichick and Andy Reid, and there's other coaches out there, but they're not leaving
Tomlin's
their teams. It's just hard to imagine that they could do better than Mike Tomlin unless they do a significant amount of research.
I like his attitude,
and
too.
And coming up off a 12-4 season, he seems to do everything right, both publicly and privately.
Remember that winning streak, Ben?
Yeah, 11 in a row. I do remember. I do remember.
Spicy
and
shot after
shitting,
spicy shot after
shitting
spicy
the
shot.
The bed in the playoffs. You know, but he has the hand that he's dealt. He's had Ben Roethlisberger for the entirety of his career. Could have had Aaron Rodgers, could have had Tom Brady, could have had a lot of other.
But he's been stuck.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Big Ben.
Yeah.
But this is the hand that he was dealt, and I think he's done about as good a job as you can do with that hand.
Yeah, but even with Doug Hodges and Mason Rudolph.
Won eight games.
Not last year, but the year before. You know, he almost made it to the playoff with those quarterbacks, and they're pretty terrible.
Yeah, thank you, Cleveland. I think Cleveland was the reason we missed the playoffs there.
Was it?
I think Cleveland had to beat Cincinnati.
That's right.
So it was our own division rivals that kept us out of the playoffs,
and they kicked us out of the playoffs.
And they
this
were
year.
Close. They were close to winning that game too. And I think there was a fourth down at the end of the game that they decided not to take. They decided to punt the ball away
the ball
and lost that game.
Overthrown. Actually.
Or, oh, it was on a fourth down. It was overthrown?
It was overthrown, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right, Freddie, want to do this shot? Why are we doing this shot?
We are doing this shot. It is our punishment shot, and it's an agreement that we signed in blood, a contract that we signed in blood many years ago. If Ben says anything negative about a team in his division, which is the AFC.
North.
Or if I say anything negative about a team in my division, which is the NFC East. Or if Sonia says anything negative about a team in her division, which is the NFC West, then she takes a shot. She hasn't been on the podcast for a long time. I'm sure a lot of folks have forgotten the sultry voice of Sonia
telling us both to shut up.
Exactly.
which was one of her primary roles, to tell us to shut up.
Her role was pointing at her watch and saying, okay, can we move on?
She was the can we move on.
Yeah. And that's why our podcasts are over 2 hours long. With Sonia, they're a little bit shorter because she's like, come on, guys.
It was like 38 minutes.
Yeah. She should be our producer. She should sit out here.
That's too much
with
work.
A stopwatch.
Saying, shut up, move on.
Yeah, but we're taking this because Ben said something negative about the Ravens, which I don't blame him. It's a team in his division. And I'm pretty sure I'll be
taking one maybe
eventually because I say something negative about a team in my division. Ben usually has something on the agenda for that.
Of course.
But we are drinking.
Let's do it.
We are drinking the Jim Beam Orange, which is a college kid's drink.
Ah, disgusting.
At a frat party. I think a lot of people drink this at frat parties.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
This is something that they would drink because cheap, it's sweet, and because of that, you got a hangover when you're not in college, at least our age, Ben.
At least the pledge is going to clean it up.
We're different ages, but you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Once you get above 30...
The hangovers
start
coming
because of this stuff. But cheers to you, Ben.
Oh, it was. I'm not a big fan. Not a huge fan of that one. Whoo!
Yeah, it was good at first.
Yeah,
like I remember liking this one, but now I could taste like the sweeteners that they use. It's almost like that.
It's like saccharin or something. It's actual real sugar, I'm sure, but it tastes like saccharin.
Probably not. For Jim Beam. Oh, yeah, no.
It's a what do they call that? Pasteurized processed sugar replacement.
They're not using stevia.
No, that's too expensive for them. All right, Friday, you ready to move on?
Let's move on, Ben. But yeah, you're happy. You're happy about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Good for Mike Tomlin.
Next up, a little Eagles news. Nick Rochambeau Sirianni.
Should I pour a shot?
With Wentz gone. General manager Howie Roseman, also soon to be gone, initially made it clear that he believed Hurts is a franchise quarterback and could be built around. But hold the phone! Not only is it rumored the Eagles attempted to move up in the 2021 draft to presumably take a swing at another QB before ultimately deciding to trade with the Dolphins to move out of the top 10, Sirianni has now declared it's too soon to award Hurts the starting job. More drama in Philadelphia. Instead, he wants an all-out competition at all positions, including between Hurts and newly signed veteran Joe Flacco, who joined the team in free agency on a one-year deal. He said, or Sirianni said, to name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days, right? Said Sirianni at a Wednesday press conference. We've been working with these guys for 2 days, and my biggest thing is competition. At this point in his career, it's difficult to fathom Joe Flacco making any start, let alone being a starter.
Exactly.
But being able to beat out Hurts for the role of a QB1, but Sirianni wants at least to see if it's possible. Again, we've talked a little bit about my core values, he added. Competition is my second core value. It is this team's second core value. What is the first core value then? Competition is a huge thing, and we're going to have competition at every position.
So stupid.
Which is, of course, untrue, because if they were paying Hurts $15 million or $25 million a year, there wouldn't be any competition.
This is stupid.
Sirianni went as far as to hammer home his competitive ways by admitting that a new scouting tactic he has deployed in Philadelphia, playing the old age-old game of rock, paper, scissors.
See, I didn't
with
know this
NFL
was on the agenda.
Prospects.
I didn't know this was on the agenda.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have mentioned it.
No, it's cool.
But yeah, okay.
He believes it tells a lot about their level of competitive fire. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that this is your head coach.
I'm
just
sorry
ahead
now,
of
too.
Their leap into the NFL. He said, I played a few of them rock, paper, scissors, he admits. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to them. Are you going to talk trash back to me? When you compete with someone that's competitive, they're going to go at you no matter what game you're playing. What's clear is anyone expecting things to begin smoothly for the 2021 Eagles should probably stop holding their breath. There are some strategies to Rochambeau that actually work that can give you a competitive advantage over your opponent unless they know.
But,
Friday, what do you say about the idiotic notion that Hurts is not going to start in Rochambeau with potential draft picks?
It's just childish. How old are we? We played rock, paper, scissors when we were like in first grade or second grade or third grade. I mean, these are adults now. I mean, come on. They're not even college kids. I mean, if you want to do that with college kids, you know, that are 18, 19, 20 years old. But, you know, these guys are professionals now. You know, if they want to talk shit back to the coach, I don't know if that's not being professional. If you want to talk shit back to the guy that's actually coaching you on the field, I don't agree with that either.
Yeah, especially when you're looking to get drafted.
Yeah, exactly. Let me
insult the guy that might draft me.
Why have Jalen Hurts look over his shoulder any more than he is already? Just say, hey, you're our starter. You're our guy.
After sitting on the bench and watching what's his name come in the fourth quarter of that game.
Exactly.
In the most dramatic, probably the most upset, dramatic, weird situation the Eagles have seen in 30 years, and
yeah,
he had to be a part of it.
Yeah, it made absolutely no sense. But I mean, you know, Hurts is. I mean, Flacco cannot be a starter
Flacco
in the NFL. I mean, look, I'm happy that he's the backup quarterback.
I mean, he didn't play for the Jets, but they're the Jets.
It's fine. That's fine. You know, as far as being a role model and just teaching, you know, Hurts the ropes.
I can't imagine Joe Flacco being game one starter. That would be hilarious.
That's not going to happen.
That
I mean,
would be hilarious.
It's obvious.
That would just cap the Eagles offseason to have roll Joe Flacco out there in game one.
Yeah, I mean,
and get beat 45-7. And have Sirianni say, competition.
Hey,
competition.
Come on. Give Joe Flacco a little credit here, right? 45-10.
45-10.
All right.
He'll get him in field goal range, I suppose.
Once.
But yeah, I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, just say
that's
look,
crazy to even
Hurts.
Why would you
planning,
want to build a guy's confidence up
exactly?
Instead?
Unless you're planning on taking a quarterback in the draft, if you're planning on trading a bunch of draft picks and going up to number two, and I don't know. I mean, who's going to pick up at number two? I mean, Mac Jones is up there. Justin Fields.
Well, Zach Wilson is
BYU quarterback. I mean, if you're planning on doing
Shane
that,
Buechele, I'm telling people, Shane fucking Buechele is going to be a starter in his league at SMU. Count on it.
Yeah, and you were high on Justin Herbert as well, Ben. So I do trust your quarterback.
Listen to me now and believe me 2 years from now.
Yeah. We just had to listen for a few weeks, actually, a few months when Herbert came on board. I
don't
understand what he's trying to do exactly.
Yeah,
I think what he really means to say
is fear. He's managing in fear, yeah, not in competition. To have a rookie quarterback who just went through the shit show that he had to go through last year with Wentz, with all the drama with Peterson, with that stupid, ridiculous, you know, game where they had an opportunity to make the play or keep Dallas out of the playoffs, and they send, you know, essentially me into the game in the fourth quarter,
And you're not giving yourself enough credit, Ben.
And then they have all the drama with Wentz.
I saw you throw the ball.
With Wentz. It's pretty bad. Yeah. With Wentz, are you going to get traded? Are you not going to get traded? What he really means is he wants Hurts to operate from a position of fear, not of competition. No realistic human being. You could go to the farthest reaches of the rainforest and find a tribe that hasn't had human contact in 100 years and ask them whether Jalen Hurts is going to start or Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And they would tell you, oh, Jalen Hurts is definitely going to start. And now let me get back in my canoe or whatever.
They take one look at Joe Flacco and be like, this guy?
I think he's just being silly. He should be building the kid's confidence now. I mean, because he's the starter.
It's childish. I mean, I know Sirianni's a young guy.
But he's the starter.
Come on. I mean, Jalen Hurts
is this isn't freaking
your guy.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Let Jalen Hurts know that he is the guy just so he can learn the plays, so he can get down to business, so he can maybe call some of the receivers over to his house like Wentz did back in the offseason. Just throw the ball around with these guys. Like, I am the starter. I am the guy that's going to be throwing you the ball. Let's get together. And that's it.
Yeah,
there's no reason for this sort of, it's almost creating drama.
It just shows me that he doesn't have a very good management philosophy.
No.
I mean, obviously you're going to start the best player.
Yeah.
So it's inherently competitive, but some people operate better when
obvious.
They're, some people operate better from a position of fear. Some people operate better when they're complimented. Some people perform better when you're constantly berating them. But in this potential situation, he shouldn't have competition at every position.
No.
You know who's going to start at both of these positions. You're not, it's not a true competition, but at the quarterback position, this is the opportunity to give this guy the confidence that he needs going into the season to know that this is his team and develop the responsibility mindset that he has to have going into the season.
Yeah. But
because a lot of teams have started these Vinny Testaverde, roll him out there, or whoever the hell else you got, Drew Bledsoe, roll him out there. You know, I don't know. I got Tom Brady, but let's just start fucking Drew Bledsoe instead. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times teams do this. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that you do see Flacco in week one if Hurts doesn't impress. But I don't think there's anywhere to go with
Flacco.
Flacco's
not going to impress.
So you got to give this kid confidence.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he has confidence. Just let him know that he's the fucking starter week one.
Yeah,
just let the guy go.
This is ridiculous.
You're our starter. Let's roll.
Yeah, if you want to enter a rock, paper, scissors competition in the offseason, Sirianni, they're all over the country. You know, they have them in bars and restaurants and pubs and
maybe play Jenga.
Yeah.
See who's going to be the starter,
Yeah, if the guy just knocks over
there. Yeah. He's not the starter. He knocked it over. But if you're very diligent and patient and you knock that little wood piece out without knocking the whole thing down, this guy's the starter.
He's the one. I know he's trying to be cute, but
There's cute and then there's just childish.
Yeah. I think the whole thing is childish. The Rochambeau is fun. It's a fun little anecdote, but he should just say he's doing it for fun. Not because he's really trying to, what's he, like staring into their eyes like he's in a courtroom or something?
Let's get the team together. Let's play Connect Four. Everybody.
Let's be less clever and funny and more, let's fix what's going on with the Eagles.
Maybe Twister?
Yeah, play Twister. Play something fun at least. Give these guys some fun.
Right after the game, in the locker room, while everybody's like, taking off their pads and everything. All right, let's get together.
Yeah, a little game of Risk in the locker room so you could take over the world.
The game of life.
Yeah, name all the country's different NFL teams.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense. I read an article about that. And I was like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, let's hope it gets better. Next up, NFL rule changes. Another dumb rule enforcement in the NFL. There's a bunch of stuff between it before the competition committee this week. Most of it is there's going to be a little bit of a change with the referee. And
have you played Risk?
Oh, I love Risk.
I've never played Risk.
I love Risk. Oh, I loved when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some changes. There's going to be some more communication between the official in the box and the official out of field. The Eagles 4th and 15 onside kick is going to be rejected. There's going to be the onside kick rule change with the 9 guys set up in the setup zone. So there's not really anything significant, but there is one point of emphasis this year that I think is ridiculous, and I'd love to hear Franny's take. The NFL is going to make taunting a point of emphasis this season, according to Michael David Smith of ProFootballTalk.com. Rich McKay, the chairman of the NFL competition committee, said today that the league had become too lax in taunting and that officials will be told taunting is a point of emphasis for them. The face-to-face, the pointing of fingers, the standing over players on the ground will be penalized.
That's stupid.
McKay noted that the NFL is not looking to penalize players for celebrating touchdowns, but the actions that represent poor sportsmanship, because celebrating a touchdown is not poor sportsmanship, toward an opponent will be flagged as often as possible this season, including some that officials allowed to slide last year. This shows how great NFL football is. Increased viewership notwithstanding, the NFL will make every effort to screw it up. That's my addition to that particular.
I don't mind taunting at all.
If you can celebrate a touchdown, but you can't stand after a guy. The offense gets to celebrate, but the defense can't celebrate? Is that the deal?
Yeah. If you blast a dude and he's laying on the ground.
It's fucking ridiculous. Why do they try to screw up a good thing constantly?
This is a man sport. All right. It's a physical sport. You know, that's what guys do. Like, I just fucked you up. I'm going to stand over you and tell you I fucked you up. And I don't care. In the NBA, it's the same exact thing. If you dunk over a guy, you can't, like, make eye contact with him and point at him like Sean Kemp did after that one dunk. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I always liked Sean Kemp.
And that was back in the early 90s. And that was, like, fine. Now, all of a sudden, you can't do it anymore. It's like, dude, this is not...
because you gotta make sure Steph Curry has a 25-year career and never gets touched.
Okay, let's not talk shit about Steph Curry, all right?
Don't touch him! He's the Wayne Gretzky NBA.
He doesn't have to dunk on you to taunt you. He could just, like, launch up a 30-foot three-pointer and taunt you and be like, yeah, bitch, I just hit that. You know, which is even more difficult than dunking, actually. But I don't agree with that one bit. I want to see taunting
not
in the NFL.
Steph Curry,
I don't want to see a guy like punch a dude while he's on the ground. But I mean, hey,
we're not talking about MMA.
If you light a guy up and he's fine and he's not like unconscious, if you like don't hit him hard enough, I don't mind it. Who cares, man? It's part of the sport. It's a physical sport. Let these guys have fun.
Yeah, it's
out
ridiculous.
There.
I mean, so you're saying that if you make a great defensive play, you can't do a little bit of taunting, but you can turn around, face the player as you're running towards the end zone, look at him in the eyes, flip backwards into the end zone, celebrate with a bowling ball, you know, like you guys are bowling pins and someone's the bowling ball. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Like whatever you do in the end zone after a touchdown, that's fine. But the defense, it's just another FU to the defense, essentially. I mean, the defense is eventually they're just going to get out there. And no one's going to want to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. I mean, if you're going to allow touchdown celebrations for the offense, what exactly is the defense allowed to celebrate?
Yeah,
so you're turnovers.
Not supposed to have any sort of emotion on the field. You're supposed to go out there like robots or something. I mean, if you make a big play, man, taunt.
But why are they
Who
worried
cares?
About taunting?
I don't.
The issue with taunting is not the taunter; it's the taunte.
Like, are you hurting somebody's feelings?
Well, that's the issue.
This dude is making millions of dollars just like you.
But they're probably trying. I personally think taunting is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing because it teaches.
It's like rock, paper, scissors. Like, I got rock and you got scissors, bitch.
My paper is covering your rock right now because you're on the ground. I mean, I think it's a good thing because it teaches the tauntee that it's okay to be disrespected. In other words, what I think they're afraid of is that there's going to be taunting and there's going to be a fight. But it teaches the tauntee that when you get got, you just shut up. It's not about respect.
Hey.
You know, but they feel like they're being disrespected, which is not a real thing in the real world unless you're operating outside of civilized society.
Yeah.
You know, so it teaches the people to get taunted. Mm-hmm. Just take it because you got.
Exactly.
Just
turn around.
And walk away.
No, well, just turn around and make the next big play and taunt the motherfucker that just taunted you.
Because they're gonna, if they can celebrate the touchdown, they're gonna celebrate the touchdown when they get you. Mm-hmm. When they beat the cornerback down the field and score the touchdown, they're gonna celebrate.
Then it's not a penalty.
Right.
That doesn't make any
sense. That's what I thought was ridiculous. Either you could either take away all taunting, because celebrations in the end zone are taunting.
Yeah.
It's in fact a very elaborate event of taunting.
They practice it. Practice it. And like you have guys like, you know, as bowling pins getting bowled over by the guy that scored the touchdown. Like you said, it's very elaborate. I mean, the Seahawks had multiple dances in place after touchdowns. I mean, it's something that they do on the practice field. You know, it's fun to watch, but then you should allow the defense to do the exact same thing.
Yeah, but to prevent fights. I mean, if you're fighting because you got taunted, you probably don't belong in a professional job of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you going to do in the office when your office coworker comes up and they get the big, you know, they close the big deal and they walk by your cubicle and, you know, say some smart remark to you. You're going to fight them in the middle of the office? Like, this is a job. And
I don't care that you got that huge promotion.
Yeah, you see Dwight and Jim just rolling around fist fighting in the office over a paper, over a paper sale. But honestly, you got to be a stronger adult human being. And if someone taunts you, your first reaction should not be to jump up and literally punch a fist into a helmet that does nothing.
Just turn around and do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Turn around, score the touchdown.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. I agree. All right, Franny, you ready to move on before the NFL takes all the fun?
No fun league.
Yeah, and actually, it's ironic because I couldn't care less about offensive touchdown celebrations. Mm-hmm. The touchdown's already happened.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
My high point is the touchdown itself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather see a really good taunt or someone stand, a linebacker stand over a receiver because they leveled him coming across the middle of the field,
yep,
than watch a bunch of guys literally choreograph, you know, a scene from Les Mis in the end zone.
That'd be pretty.
Will do it this year.
That'd be impressive.
It'll probably be
They get like in a canoe. Like,
yeah,
they sit on the ground. They're like, they gesture like they're like paddling on,
yeah,
each side.
It doesn't
like
do awesome anything for me. But
or like the bobsled team. You know, get in there. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
But the defense, I mean, come on.
No, if you start bringing props onto the field, yeah, it's a whole different story.
Just
like a
telephone
bucket of props that you bring out there. Yeah, that's different. But
let the defense have some fun.
Yeah. Let them do it.
I mean, you're really just trying to suck the defense out of the game. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon you're just going to have, robots out there playing defense, and they all do the same thing, and, you know, the games will be 75-70.
Which
I hate. Franny, are you ready to move on?
Let's move on.
All right. Next up, just wanted to talk with Franny a little bit about the early odds in the NFL for total wins for each team, starting from highest to lowest, and just get your thoughts initially on where you think these lines are. I mean, obviously, we have the draft coming up next week, and I'll probably put my bets in after the draft. But I do see a couple of nice, tasty bets in here.
Mm-hmm.
But Kansas City Chiefs, 12.
Yeah. They're going to be good next year.
That seems
They'll be good.
Tampa Bay, 11.5. So essentially 12.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Baltimore, 11. That one might be lower.
Yeah, I would say 10. Not much lower, but I'd say maybe 10.
I think that's a nice place, a nice place to bet an under with Pittsburgh, with Cleveland,
yep,
a better team, with Burrow coming back healthy again. It might be tougher than the odds makers think for Baltimore to get 11 wins in that division. LA Rams, this one shocked me. 10.5 wins for the Rams with Stafford's first season with a viable franchise.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a 11 wins for the Rams in that division with the Cardinals, with the Seahawks, with the Niners.
That's sort of hovering around 11-10 right there. I'd say closer to 10 than 11. But I'd say, you know, still, you know, they're going to win a lot of games.
I'm going to bet the under on that one. That's optimistic. I think.
They won 9 games, right?
Yeah.
This past season
in that
with
division,
Goff. Yeah, I know.
I mean, with Russell Wilson trying to prove that he deserves a $50 million contract when he opts out after next year, it could be tough. Green Bay Packers, your Green Bay Packers, 10.5.
Yeah, in that division, yeah.
Yeah, I actually think it'll be higher.
Yeah,
with Goff or with Stafford being gone. Not that they win those games.
Yeah,
but I think it might actually be 12 or 13 games
and
for the Packers.
Chicago
this year
also doesn't really have a quarterback right now.
No, man, they got Andy Dalton.
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback.
They have
right
Andy
now.
Dalton. The
I could see Green Bay going 12-4 next season.
Yeah, I'm actually betting the over in there. I think they're gonna be 12-4 or 13-3. Mm-hmm. The Buffalo Bills, 10.5. The question is, are they gonna continue to improve or are they gonna revert to the Bills?
I think 11 wins for them.
Okay. Yeah. I think, you know, Patriots are gonna be better. I don't care what anybody says, the Patriots are gonna be better. But I don't like it enough to bet against it.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco 49ers, 10.5. I think they're gonna be under that.
If they have no quarterback. Yeah, new defensive coordinator over there. I'd still say
same
about
conservative head coach.
That's 9 wins, maybe. 9 wins.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be lower. Here you go, Franny. This is the one I wanted to hear.
Yeah, this one's pretty interesting.
Colts.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz.
Yep.
Who literally got thrown out next to some banana peels at the curb.
Mm-hmm.
10 wins for the Colts.
Well,
10
I mean,
wins for the Colts.
Jacksonville, they play twice. I mean, you know, obviously Tennessee's a good team. You know, the Texans, I don't even know who their quarterback is going to be this coming season. I
can't remember who they did pick up a backup. Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. But
and he's definitely
still,
starting. Because Rusty Harden should retire. He's not a very good lawyer anymore. And he's making it worse for his client.
I could see the Colts around 10. I could definitely, because they still have a good, they have a solid football team.
Carson
there.
Wentz,
I'm not sure.
Love
I'll call,
over
I,
there,
I'm not
Carson
sure.
Wentz, love over
but
there.
If you look at the quarterbacks in that division, you know, you have Tannehill. And you have, Lawrence, coming out of the draft. You know, I don't know how he's going to perform in Jacksonville his first season.
Pretty well.
So, I mean, somebody is going to have to, you know, take the lead
he's
in
no
that
Justin
division.
Herbert.
Yeah, no, he's not. I don't think he is. But I can see the Colts probably winning around 10 games. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the under. I think they're going to win 8 games next year.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Cowboys, 9.5.
Well, I don't.
9.5.
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind that actually.
You don't mind it?
No, I don't mind that.
You'd prefer that they win 10 games? That would be your preference?
No, you don't mind it that much? My preference is that they win one game. You know, and that's all. You know, they go 1-16 since we're moving to a 17 game season now. But you know, in a terrible division where, you know, the Eagles are, you know, playing rock, paper, scissors, and you have the Giants, they're sort of still unproven. I'm not sure, you know, how some of their offseason moves are going to pan out. And you have Washington as well. You know, I'm not sure who their starting quarterback is going to be there. You know, I think they're the best team in the division. I hate to say that. I fucking hate to say that they're the best team in the division. But right now...
Well, they just happen to be the best team in that particular division.
I just hate saying that. I'm going to take a shot because I said something not positive. That's sort of semi-positive.
All right, I'll take a little one.
About the Cowboys. But yeah, I hate to say it, but... I can see them winning 9 games.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to win about... I'm going to say they're going to win 12 games. I'm going to bet them over. I'm just... This is not a... It's not a knock on...
Yeah, but they have to play other teams, too.
Do they? Yeah, they have to play Washington twice. They have to play the Giants twice.
No, but...
They have to play the Eagles twice.
Other teams
that's 5 wins right there.
They have to play outside the division, too. I still think the Eagles...
Yeah, but they only need to get another Eagles, 7 wins outside the division.
I think the Eagles are still going to win 1 game against them. I still think the Eagles are going to go 1-1 against the Cowboys. I think they're going to go... 1-1 against the Giants and go 2-0 against the Redskins or the football team. Sorry.
Well, we don't know. They might change their name.
Cheers.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm betting the over on that one. Next, Tennessee Titans, 9.5.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think so too. Oh, Seattle Seahawks, 9.5. That's low.
That's low. I see them, you know, I mean,
but
if they have
division.
The Rams.
It's the division, right?
I know, but if they have the Rams at 11 games, they have the Niners at about 11 games. Why would the Seahawks be at 9.5? It doesn't make any sort of sense.
Yeah, the thing that doesn't make sense is the Niners.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the Niners should be right around where the Seahawks are or lower.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, this is a 17-game season next year, so this is essentially like 8.5 or 9 going into last year.
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
If Jimmy GQ stays healthy, I can see them winning 10 games in San Francisco, but...
I think the Seahawks are going to win 12
the Seahawks,
games.
Yeah, I'd say 11 or 12, at least. I'd say 11.5.
Because he's got an opt-out.
One tie.
Yeah, one tie. Because Russell Wilson...
Hey, and the Seahawks are playing the Steelers,
yep,
man.
In the game, week 17.
Yeah.
So, Russell Wilson has an opt-out after next season. I mean, he goes in
Sun
winning 13 games.
Talking to you for a while.
With a playoff run. Yeah, I think the Seahawks are going to... I think they're going to win 12 games.
11.
11. The Browns, 9.5.
See, I'd say 10. I mean, 9.5. I mean, it's just about that. I'd see them winning 10, maybe even 11 games. I see them somewhere on there.
Yeah, no money to be made on the Browns this year. Made it all last year.
Yeah.
Saints.
Yeah, now they're proven.
Saints, 9. No quarterback. Jameis Winston.
I know. I mean, Jameis Winston.
Taysom Hill.
I mean, in that division, I mean, you have Tampa Bay, obviously. I mean, Atlanta, you just never know what to expect from Atlanta. I don't know. I see them more of an 8-8 team right now because they're sort of unproven. I really don't know. I mean, they have a really good offense. They have good offensive weapons on that team still, but the quarterback position is still a question mark. And I don't know. 9 games still seems kind of high for them.
I'd say with Sean Payton,
8-8. I know he's good, but
Teddy Bridgewater, what he's able to do with backup quarterbacks.
Well, he was able to do with Teddy Bridgewater, but Teddy Bridgewater was a slightly smarter quarterback. I mean, Jameis Winston. He's more of a freewheeling sort of.
But he's
you
playing
know.
With a solid head coach now.
Yeah.
I mean, he played with, you know, no risk it, no biscuit down in Tampa.
Yeah.
And
But I still think Teddy Bridgewater just is a more cerebral quarterback.
Oh, for sure.
You know, than Jameis Winston. I mean, Jameis Winston, if he wants to toss the ball around, which
he can toss
to
the
do,
ball around,
he's good at doing that. But is he tossing it to the right team? You know, I'd say 8 wins. For New Orleans.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 10. I'm betting the over on that.
All right.
Patriots at 9.
I don't know.
It's hard to say, right?
You got a couple of good tight ends there that picked up in the offseason.
All the tight ends.
Yeah, pretty much everybody that was available.
The people that drive around the neighborhood picking up the metal that people leave in the front. Like, hey, he's just driving around picking up tight ends.
Are you going to use that tight end?
Yeah.
Are you using that tight end over there?
Yeah, he kidnapped Eric Ebron over the weekend, took him to New England. He had to escape and come back to Pittsburgh.
I'd say that, I mean, I think Miami's going to be a better team this year, too.
Oh, stop.
I mean, why not? They were good last season.
They were
good. I mean, they won 9 games, right?
Well, they traded with the Eagles. So they're picking number 6, right?
I still think that, I mean, they're you know, the second year head coach now. I think they'd be an okay team there. I mean, you got the Bills there and the Jets. You never know.
I'm not going to do it this year.
You never know,
I
want
to do it. I want to do it.
They're going to be a better team.
I want to do it.
You can't get much worse.
Sorry to your Jets fans podcast.
I can see the Jets going.
Jets fans podcast. I tried. The last three seasons, I tried with the Jets to be optimistic. Now it's prove it time.
Yeah.
Because you're breaking my heart every year.
With Cam Newton at her center, are you very optimistic? With Cam Newton,
I'm optimistic with the fact that they really went out and spent a lot of money.
They got Stidham out there.
But they have a much better team this year. They were able to go out and spend all that money in free agency. They've got a better offensive line. They've got the tight ends. They still have White. They still got a decent backfield.
You know who they do not have?
Who's that?
Tom Brady, Ben.
That's true. They don't have
Tom Brady. They still don't have Tom Brady.
But I think they can win 11.
I think
11 games. I'm going to go 11.
Not 8-8 because I'm so used to the 16 games.
Because the division still sucks.
8-9. Or 9-8, somewhere around there. Yeah, but actually they're at 9 right there. Yeah.
Well, the division doesn't suck, but there's two bad teams in the division.
Yeah, 8-9.
That's great. 8-9. Yeah, we got to remember to count up to 17 now.
Stupid.
Chargers at 9. I think they're going to be over.
Yeah, I think
It's 17 games. They got Justin Herbert in his second season. They still got the receivers. They still got the running backs. They still got a decent offensive line. They still got a decent defense.
You're right.
I think that's low. That is a nice spicy bet.
I really like Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is definitely he's gonna be one of the better quarterbacks.
He stays healthy. I think they can win 11
the next
or 12
10
games.
Years
in that division. I think they can win 11 or 12 games. Mm-hmm. Miami Dolphins 9.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers 8.5. That is a down.
Damn, Ben.
After winning 11 games in a row.
Yeah.
After winning, going 11 and fucking
that
zero
is what happened
last year.
When
8.
You do not have a running back.
5.
Get a fucking running back.
James Conner went off and signed for $1 million.
How many picks
signed
do you guys
for
have?
$1 million,
How many
Conner.
Picks do you have in this year's draft?
I think we got 7 or 8.
All right, so pick up 4 running backs.
Yeah, we're picking up.
One of them has to pan out.
We're probably going to pick up a running back in the first round, probably. I thought that was on the agenda, but I guess not. But we should talk about that right now since I thought I had it on the...
Let's go. I mean, because the rest of these teams, like...
I skipped over it.
You know, Minnesota Vikings, 8.5. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I skipped over it. They're supposed to pick up a running back in their first pick, the Steelers. Not much of a story
there. Let's go down the list right here.
Vikings, 8.5.
You know, let's talk about the Eagles because they're my team and they're at 6.5. And, you know, I don't disagree.
I think they're probably going to win. I would give them 8.
I would be happy with 6.5.
I think they're going to go 8-9.
If they could win seven games this season, I'd be happy with that because I really don't think they're going to be a good football team this year.
Giants at 7. What about the Raiders at 7.5? I think that's a little low.
I also think that's a little low. I think they have a chance to win.
They got a great quarterback. They got a moron for a head coach, but they got a pretty solid team.
I think about 9 wins for them. Still not spectacular, but better than where they're listed on this.
Yeah, but the Eagles, how the mighty have fallen to 6.5, which is well below 500.
They were mighty last season.
So there's no more 500 in the NFL.
Yeah, no.
You can't use that anymore. You can't say 500 anymore.
We got to go to 18 teams now. Yeah. Or 18 games now.
They're going to have to come up with some fractional.
And look at the Texans.
The Texans are the lowest in the league at 4.5. I'm just betting the over for the fuck of it.
Yeah.
Because I think they can win more than 4.5 games in that division.
Yeah,
I think they can win 6 or 7 games in that division.
Yeah, play Jacksonville twice.
And who knows? Deshaun Watson can come back midseason.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's on the exempt list, he didn't
win a lot of games this season.
That's true.
You know, he won less than that.
But they got
season.
A new head coach. They got a draft coming up. They got, you know, I 4.5.
They won 4 this season.
In a 17 game.
They won 4 with him this season. So,
yeah.
Actually, maybe that's not a bad number. But I'd still, you know, bet on them because, you know, you win 2 games against Jacksonville, just win 3 more. That's it.
Well, Jacksonville's going to have Trevor Lawrence this year.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know how good Trevor Lawrence is going to be.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But what about the Bengals sitting at 6.5? That seems low with Burrow coming back.
I'd say that's about right. In the division, you know, that's 6 tough games for them in the division alone.
Yeah, so. Denver sitting in there at 7.5.
Yeah, no quarterback. Yeah.
All right, Franny, that's it for the NFL news this week. You want to take a quick break? What's next on the big board?
We'll take a quick break in just a moment, Ben. But next up on the big board...
See? I screw up, too. Multiple times a night.
We have a shout-out to our new and loyal listeners there.
I forgot.
And then we'll take a quick break.
I forgot about our new and loyal listeners.
Nah, I never forget about the listeners.
Thank you all.
We love our listeners.
To our new
we
listeners.
Love you.
We love you. I saw a bunch of people from Western New York on there, so thank you all, Western New York,
represent.
For listening to the show. Since 2018, we have been a show about football, fun, friends, whiskey, and beer reviews. And since you're listening, please consider heading to our website at thirstygold.buzzsprout.com or search Thirsty Gold Podcast on the web and subscribe, rate, and review the show. Please rate and review the show. Franny, how many stars?
5 stars.
Just smash it. Crush that 5-star. Just make it. Just stand over and taunt it. Just taunt that 5-star review button.
Pound
Give it.
It
the peace sign. like what's his name did to Tyreek Hill.
Which he deserved.
Which he deserved. Please tell a friend, a family member, a coworker, a stranger, just one person that you know or someone even that you don't know. Just tell them about our show. We would truly, truly appreciate it if you do that for us. You can find us on every podcatcher in the universe.
Everywhere.
As well as Pandora, Audible, and Amazon Music. If you're listening to your Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Thirst and Goal Podcast. We are there on Amazon, so you can find us. Friday, what's next about the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our feel-good story.
All right, finally, Franny, some good news for the Eagles. We'll be right back.
Is it? And we are back with our feel-good story, Ben, and it seems like it has to do with the Eagles, I'm guessing, because in the parentheses right here, the Eagles need some good news.
They do.
We do.
I mean, you definitely need some good news, especially with the Cowboys coming back, and we have another Cowboy. Well,
the Cowboys aren't really coming back. They're just the strongest team in a crappy division.
Well, they're getting their quarterback back. Yeah. Quarterback back.
Dak is back.
Yeah, Dak is back.
Dak
clap,
attack.
Clap, clap, clap.
Dak attack.
Yeah. Gwen Stefani's new song. Clap, 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 clap.
Is that
That's
song?
Essentially the song, yeah. It's pretty, terrible.
I don't think I've heard that one yet.
It's terrible.
Yeah, is it pretty terrible?
It's pretty terrible.
Well, actually, music nowadays, like, you know, I'm at that age now where, like, new music is terrible. That means I'm old.
It's only been terrible since about 2001. But, you know.
What? Yeah.
And since I turned into a real, real adult.
Yeah.
All right. Feel good story time. A lot of words. All right. Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles. It may be hard to believe now, but it wasn't that long ago when the 317-pound Lane Johnson, Franny's favorite athlete in the world, showed up.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I like Lane Johnson. I love the guy. He showed up to Kilgore College in East Texas more than a decade ago as a skinny, lanky quarterback looking for an opportunity to showcase his athletic ability. Johnson boasted a bevy of high school credentials, including all-district and all-state honorable mentions and other accolades, but playing in the tiny town of Groveton, Texas, caused him to be overlooked. He received only one scholarship offer, and that came from Kilgore College. Johnson took advantage of this lone opportunity by making the unusual transition from, I can't imagine him as a quarterback, from quarterback to tight end, and then from tight end to tackle, and then to a first-round draft pick and perennial Pro Bowl selection. However, none of it would have happened if it wasn't for the opportunity Lane was granted in the form of the lone scholarship offer from Kilgore College, and he has gone out of his way to repay the school in the form of a $500,000 donation.
He's made a little bit of money in his career.
That was used to build an athletic facility.
Just like what you want to do, Ben.
I'd love to do that. Aptly named the Lane Johnson Performance Center.
Come on, Super Lotto.
Which officially opened this past Thursday. For Johnson, it is more than just having his name on the side of a building. It's his way of providing future Kilgore athletes with the tools that they need to make the most of their opportunity, whether it's their lone one like Lane or many other junior college athletes, their last. It means a whole lot to the people around that can really utilize it, Johnson said. Words cannot express the gratitude that Kilgore Athletic Department and the student athletes had, said Jimmy Reeves, the school's AD. A sports and conditioning complex is vital to the success of student athletes, he added. I've been involved at Kilgore College for 25 years, and this is something that we badly needed. It is something that a lot of junior colleges like Kilgore badly need, but unfortunately do not possess the resources to build. Despite the lack of funding and facilities, junior colleges routinely practice scheduling or scholarship athletes to major programs who eventually become productive pros, including linebacker Levante David and defensive lineman Jason Pierre-Paul, who were coincidentally playing against Johnson in his first game at Kilgore College. Finally, I really like this story. Nobody gave Lane Johnson a chance. Now a perennial Pro Bowler. It's this college that I had never heard of that only has 3,200 followers on Twitter in the left little tiny little section, west part of Texas. And they gave him a chance. He transitioned from quarterback to tackle. And now he's playing, making millions and millions of dollars in the NFL. What a fucking great story.
No, I mean, it's an amazing story. I mean, Lane Johnson, seriously, I mean, one of the best tackles in football. I mean, just as a football player, this guy is amazing. But off the field, it seems like he's just as awesome. So, I mean, kudos to Lane Johnson. And $500,000. That's a good chunk of change right there.
Throwing around 10K, 20K, yeah, I know. This guy's 30K. Like, you know, he's like, how about half a million? How about a couple houses?
I'm going to put a whole sports complex together. We're going to call it the Lane Johnson Sports Complex.
I mean, I just love this story. I mean, when everyone, you know, everyone that's successful has either an entity or a person that helped them, that gave them a chance, that encouraged them, something.
Going back to his community, just like a lot of these guys go back to their community. And they give back to the people that started basically his entire career.
Yeah. And I just love seeing this.
Yeah.
I mean, and the converse. Most unsuccessful people didn't have someone like that in their life, didn't have some entity that did, you know, that gave him a chance. And for him to repay in a half a million, regardless of how much money he makes.
Yeah. A half a million dollars.
You know, he lives in Texas. If he still lives in Texas, he doesn't pay much tax. If he lives in Texas. Actually, no, he's got to pay tax in, I think he's got to pay tax in Philly. In Pennsylvania. Which means he does pay state income tax. But this is just such a great, great story. And I can't say enough about Lane Johnson and his contribution to this tiny little Texas school.
Oh, contribution to the Eagles has been amazing.
Yeah. And hopefully this year he'll be protecting Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Or Joe Flacco.
Rock, paper, scissors. I mean, you just never know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Sirianni's going to make his decision game day. He's like, I don't know if I should go with Jalen Hurts. You know what? You guys just play rock, paper, scissors. Let me see who's going to start as quarterback.
He would earn a lot. He would earn his money more so if he's out there trying to protect Joe Flacco.
Exactly. You know,
it's like literally like carrying a statue through a crowd of concert goers at Live Aid, just trying to carry a statue from one end to the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but good for Lane Johnson.
For sure.
One of my favorite Eagles players at the moment. I mean, for him and Kelsey. I mean, both those guys.
Awesome. Yeah, Kelsey is he's an actor too. He's on that. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, was he?
I think him and Lane Johnson were on.
That was the one they won the Super Bowl. I think it was like the post Super Bowl episode. Yeah,
that was a great. It was just funny to watch because, you know, only It's Always Sunny would have linemen. Instead of, you know, running backs or wide receivers or something. Yeah. So they bring on the linemen. Yeah. Ronnie, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben. I can't believe it. Oh, no, I was going to say shot of the week. It's our stat of the week. It almost looked like shot of the week. I was like, are we there already? No, but it's our stat of the week, Ben. It is something that I mentioned last week
on the podcast. Well, I accidentally put on the agenda.
Yeah, well, you know, getting everybody prepared for the stat of the week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, get ready, everybody.
We are pre-briefing our stat of the week. Next, brief the change you want to see in the world.
I mean, this is what everybody wanted. You know, we brought it to all of our listeners out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And this week, Friday, for our inaugural off-season stat of the week, we are going to rank something that I know that you like. This is
scoring
the best deep ball passers in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks that throw the ball down the field 20 yards or more. And it's essentially a measure of the difference between a quarterback's actual completion percentage and expected completion percentage based on the passes downfield. So the higher that you are above the expected pass completion percentage, the higher you score on this list. Are you ready?
I am ready.
The number one best deep ball passer in the NFL.
Yeah, you're really excited about this.
Who do you think it is?
Russell Wilson. Oh my God, Dak Prescott. Get the fuck out of here. The guy played 5 games last season. And not even 5 games. He did play 5 games. There were 2 and 3 when he got injured. So he played like 5.2 games. I'm taking a shot. That doesn't make any fucking sense. He's so inaccurate down the field. Let's just stop talking about the stats right now. Just cut it off. I'm done with the podcast.
Completion percentage, 44.4%. His expected completion percentage was only 31%. 13.4 percentage points difference. TD to INT ratio, 6.2. Passer rating, 109.7. This is Dak Prescott, 109.7 on 20 yards. The best.
These are wrong. These stats are wrong.
Deep ball. I'll take a small shot.
This is stupid. This is already dumb. This is why you wanted it. Just so you can take a shot.
Russell, I mean, well, and I think it's true.
Maybe it was true.
Stats don't lie.
This was last season?
Stats don't lie.
This was just last season. He didn't even play a full season.
Stats don't lie.
I'm giving you a little bit more.
But it is true. Stats don't lie. That's why I love stats.
Yeah, well.
You know, somebody's like, no, 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 it's true. And I'm like, well, I don't think so. Well, here's the stat that tells you that you're wrong.
Stats aren't always true.
Yeah, stats are always true.
I mean, how many long balls?
Stats aren't always true.
How many long balls did he throw?
You didn't run for 1,000 yards. You ran for 937 yards.
Let's say 44.4%. Let's say a guy
throws. That's almost 50% on 20 yards.
Let's say somebody throws the ball, let's say 4 out of 10 times, as opposed to 8 out of 20 times. To get to that same percentage, the other guy was technically more accurate than this guy. But the stats
are
the
same.
Can
you repeat that?
No, I'm saying if you're looking at the same completion percentage,
excuse me.
4 out of 20 is the same as, I mean, 4 out of 10 is the same as 8 out of 20, right?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So if he threw the ball more times in order to get that same stat, is he just as accurate?
Yes.
No.
He's exactly as accurate.
No, but the other guy had to throw the ball less times in order to get that same stat. Like, yeah. if you go to, like...
But mathematically, he's just as accurate.
Mathematically, yes. But if you go to 20 Super Bowls and you win 10 of them...
Yeah, it's 50%.
Yeah. Or if, you know, 10 and 5, you less Super Bowls, you still win as many Super Bowls as the last guy. So which more impressive? I don't know. It's like... Yeah. I guess it's still impressive
to win. Let's just do the shot because Dak Prescott's a great quarterback.
Shut up. No, he's not. I mean, I'm happy for Dak Prescott. I don't hate Dak Prescott, but these numbers are inaccurate. These are wrong.
Who do you think is number two, Friday?
Russell Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. Russell Wilson should be number one because he was probably the 4 out of 10 guy, not the 8 out of 20 guy.
Yeah, before he started throwing interceptions for the entire second half of the season. Completion percent, 42.7. Expected 29.9. Russell Wilson coming in at number two, as you expected, right? Well, you expected him to be number one.
I didn't expect Dak Prescott to be on this list at all. But he probably throws the ball down the field a lot.
And he's got great receivers on that team.
Dak Prescott, yes.
Number three, Patrick Mahomes. Look at the list.
But who throws the
ball? Look at where Dak Prescott is. Dak Prescott, right there with Russell Wilson. Jeez. Right there with Patrick Mahomes. Oh, the Cowboys are on the rise.
You're a dick.
The Cowboys are on the rise.
And that's why he's making $40-some million.
Maybe he's actually better than you think.
I don't hate the guy. I really do not hate Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's one of the few.
You never know it after the last 10 minutes of conversation.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, I don't dislike the guy as, you know, his personality. He seems like a nice dude, but I don't think he's that good of a quarterback.
Well, apparently he is. He's number one.
He's a good quarterback. Not that good, though.
He is number one.
He's not above Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes good.
But Patrick Mahomes coming in at number three, 45.5 completion percentage estimated or expected completion percentage, 36.5. Coming in at number four, Tom Brady.
That's pretty impressive. Old man Tom Brady.
Yeah, let's look at, so Dak Prescott is with Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson so far. That's a pretty good company. That's a pretty good company, I say. Coming in at Tom Brady was 38.9% completion percentage, expected 31.4%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Kyler Murray coming in at number five because he chucked the ball a lot last year because they were behind a lot in the second half of the season.
Yeah, but you also have one of the best receivers in the league over there. So, you know, hey, why not chuck the ball around?
Doesn't hurt. 41% completion percentage, expected 34.4%. Number six, Deshaun Watson. Man, Dak Prescott is in some good company here. Wow.
It was dick around.
I mean, this is, exactly. That completion percentage is 98. Offending masseuses, 98.6 completion percentage.
Allegedly.
But expected offensive percentage is zero. Yeah. And he was well above 50%, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was you don't want to be tops of that category.
No.
Offending
not at
people
all.
You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But Deshaun Watson, obviously, an amazing quarterback. I mean, I could see that from him, especially with the receivers that he has on the team too. I mean, he doesn't have Hopkins.
Does he have receivers?
No, he does.
That's a team that could play Rochambeau for receivers.
Yeah, exactly.
They actually could. They could actually just go to the practice squad and have a rock, paper, scissor competition. And after Will Fuller's, you know, Will Fuller's departure, they could just, yeah, you know, it's like, best two out of three.
After Will Fuller, who is your next best receiver?
Yeah, I got a Fulgham. Is there a Travis Fulgham out there? Can I get a Fulgham, please?
Yeah, but that's pretty impressive for because all the other quarterbacks that we talked about had really good receivers on their team, whereas Deshaun Watson, he doesn't have the best cast of characters out there to throw the ball to.
Oh, definitely not. And his completion percentage is 41.2.
Yeah. I mean, 4,500 yards, you know.
Yeah, his expected percentage was 34.6. That is impressive.
I'm actually impressed that Fuller played as many games as he did.
It's too bad he's not going to play this year.
Maybe.
Next up, number 7.
Oh, this is pretty.
This shocked me.
Yeah, yeah.
This shocked me. Yeah. Kirk motherfucking Cousins, who should have retired, but Alex Smith retired. Alex Smith should still be playing.
Well, no,
Kirk Cousins should not be playing.
Alex Smith retired for other reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Kirk Cousins probably should retire just to save us all from watching Kirk Cousins play football. But the completion percentage is 42.6.
You're a Kirk Cousins hater.
I am. Expected completion percentage, 36.2. I was actually impressed with this number. I did not think Kirk Cousins was this good.
No, but they were also behind in quite a few games, too.
Look at number 8.
Playing catch up there.
Look at number 8, Fronik.
Ryan Mitz. Motherfucker Patrick.
I mean, this is good. I'm shocked that he's on this list. Yeah, I mean, he clearly has some accuracy down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what they do in Washington is maybe, you know, a little bit of a quarterback committee.
I would have never thought that Ryan Fitzpatrick would ever be on this list. You know, I mean, obviously he has those games where he throws 4 touchdowns, but then he has those games where he throws like 4 interceptions. But that is pretty impressive. I mean, I thought the entire season that Ryan Fitzpatrick was better than Tua Tagovailoa, and they should have started him every single game and had, you know, Tua just sort of sit back and learn from him because he's been in the league forever now. But, you know, we'll see what happens when, you know, in Washington this season.
Yeah, so he was 35.8 completion percentage downfield, expected 30.4, but you can't question the man from Harvard, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Number 9, another one on Frane's Hall of Fame.
He's got Julio.
Matt Ryan.
Julio Jones.
And Calvin Ridley. He's got a... This team should be better.
Yeah, they should have been better the last few seasons. Yeah, for sure.
And number 10.
Baker Mayfield, your division, Ben.
Baker Mayfield. Completion percentage 35.9. Expected 32.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked to see Baker Mayfield on his list.
Yeah, I mean, especially after...
For deep passes.
OBJ went out early in the season. And
he's coming back this year, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, actually, if I was the Browns, I would try to trade him and see what I can get for OBJ. Because, I mean, obviously he's a good receiver. But you saw the success...
I got some scrap wood.
You saw the success that they had without him?
Yeah.
Trade him? Get some picks?
Yeah, you got to trade him to a team like the Raiders. Some team that doesn't have a very good front office.
Mm-hmm.
Giants, Raiders, Jets. You know, somebody that where they're just incompetent.
Yeah, I mean they took Kansas City to the wire without OBJ.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need an OBJ. Trade
get
him.
A couple draft picks.
Exactly.
Back.
I would definitely do that if I'm the Browns.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you agree with me because that's in your division too.
Well, he's probably one of the more overrated receivers of my lifetime. You know, he makes a couple highlight reel catches. Get you on SportsCenter, assuming people still watch SportsCenter. And
yeah, I don't watch it.
I don't know that anybody. I don't know anybody that still watches SportsCenter.
Everybody.
And I just
they have like two like sportscasters on there.
I turn it on now and I'm like, what? I'm like, okay, let me go over to. I'd rather watch Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. You got problems.
Shannon Sharp, yes. Skip Bayless, no.
Well, no. I'd rather watch. I keep every time I tune into that show, I'm thinking. Yeah. This is going to be the day when Skip Bayless finally says something so ridiculous and offensive that he gets fired.
Is it Good Morning Football?
I'm hoping he'll get fired.
Good Morning Football.
Because he said a few things that should have got him fired.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that he's going to say something one of these days that just gets him fired.
Yeah, Good Morning Football, though. I mean, the cast that they have on there.
Yeah, they do a good job.
And that girl that they
have on
there?
Of course, they got an ex-Steeler on the show.
Man, that girl, what's her name?
I have no idea.
I don't know, but she's pretty hot, though, man. Yeah. She's like a nice...
And she knows what she's talking about.
She knows what he's talking about. What she's talking about. What he's talking about. What she's talking about. Yeah, I know.
All right, Friday. Let's just.
Why wouldn't she know what she's talking about?
Exactly.
There's a lot of women out there, like your wife, for instance, Ben.
She knows what she's talking about.
Exactly.
But I just want to. Let me just roll this. Just make sure I see that.
Okay, we see.
I just want to hold that on the screen for one second.
We see Dak Prescott.
You see
on
him
there?
Up there?
Yes.
You see what's to the left of his name right there?
Yes.
What's to the left of his name right there?
Yeah.
What number is that?
It looks like it's a number one.
There you go.
I mean, it's a, I think it's a typo.
It's a typo. Should say 11.
Yeah, whoever
they're
put
just
this
missing
website,
a, they're
this
just missing a
together,
one.
Yeah, just yeah. Whoever put it together, they made a mistake.
Oh, you're killing me, Friday. That's our.
I don't hate Dak Prescott.
This was our stat of the week.
Fuck him.
Next week, we're going to talk about failed completions around the league and how they impacted wins and losses among the quarterbacks.
Dak Prescott, number one.
Yeah. Well, he might be. I don't know. I haven't looked at the list yet.
He threw it downfield too many times.
But that is possible. Well. Before he, you know, tried to make an amazing play and got his leg ripped in half, which was very, very disheartening to watch because it gave the Eagles an opportunity that they then went on to squander. Ronnie, what's next up on the big board?
What a dick.
You got to admit, they opened the division for you and you were like, nah, I don't want it.
No. You know, Washington football team, you guys.
I'd rather argue with my head coach and my owner. I'm Carson Wentz. I'd rather just piss everybody off. I don't want to win anything.
Screw it. So next up on the big board, Ben, is our shot of the week. The return of our spicy shots, Ben. I know you've been craving.
I'm nervous
these.
About this one.
You know what? I'm just actually looking at the bag of spices that we have on the table right here. we do.
How many podcasts use the phrase "bag of spices"?
Not too many, Ben. Yeah, not too many. This is one of the few podcasts.
Come on, Joe Rogan. Come on, recognize us.
He's probably not.
We're trying to grow organically like you did, buddy.
It'd be great to have him on the podcast. He would never join because he's making $100 million right now as it is. But it'd be great
to
have Joe Rogan.
Actually, of all the podcasts I listen to, I think this would be one that he would join because all we do is talk.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's all
exactly.
he does is just talk. Yeah. He doesn't have a pre-plan.
I think having him and Elon Musk on our podcast would be ideal. We get to the
all
point,
smoking weed on the
like,
podcast.
Not like us smoking. If they want to smoke weed, they can go ahead and do that. But like for us in general, I mean, it's obviously legal in California. But I mean, for us, just to get like to the point where we're just like mumbling and stumbling our words. If we drink enough like scotch and
they
do whatever they want to do. I think that'd be a great podcast. Just
sure.
four of us talking together.
For sure. Yeah, I haven't spoken in a long time. If I did that and drank, I'd probably be puking. It would be. Frane and Elon Musk and Joe Rogan. I would probably check out of that podcast pretty fast.
And Ben is on the floor.
Yeah,
as
and
we
Ben
speak
is out. Over there.
Let me put the mic
he's
by his
asleep.
Mouth.
He's asleep. Oh, the sprinklers are coming on. Oh, it doesn't seem to bother him.
He's drowning right now. Let's waterboard,
wouldn't
Ben.
Wouldn't that be awesome to
hear?
Let's
like, just waterboard, just, dude. Just put it I take my t-shirt off and put it over your face and have just like the sprinklers to splash over.
Just hear Elon Musk be like, you should roll him over.
Yeah.
Just roll him over. Over at least, I think
good.
He's on his back.
This doesn't sound good. He has one of your cars.
Yeah, I have one of the cars in the driveway.
Come on, bro.
But seriously, all of that, all the joking aside, it would be awesome to have.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Like that
but yeah, they probably would not. But we'll you know,
you never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Just hit them up on. We'll DM them on Instagram, and they will be completely ignored.
All right, Friday, what is in this shot?
Well, Ben, it's actually a very simple shot. I know how much you hate the sweet shots for some reason. I mean, last week we had I can't remember which one it was. It was the caramel apple shot, which was delicious. That was actually one of the best shots that I've had in multiple weeks on the podcast.
I know you commented on Twitter. That is better than any of the spicy shots. A little passive again. He's getting passive aggressive with me.
That was a very good shot. And you sent me,
dude. It was a good sweet shot from my college days, dude. It was sweet,
yeah,
man.
But you sent. Well,
can I get some Alabama slammers?
You responded on Twitter because we don't text and we don't Viber and we don't like talk the entire week. So you tweeted me.
Replied
a recipe for is that what
oh
it is?
That's right yeah
you tweeted me no it's tweet you have to tweet me
yeah.
on Twitter Ben.
I tweeted you
you tweeted me a response and it was actually a brand new shot that was actually extra spicy and so I didn't use the same sort of ingredients from the recipe. It's similar. I actually did bring over some some actual ghost pepper for you, Ben. It's sitting right in his bag.
Thanks. No thanks.
I have ghost pepper
my
for you.
My bark is bigger than my bite.
Just looking at the Scoville heat unit that they use to rate the heat in these spices, the Scoville heat unit for a habanero pepper is 200,000 to 300,000. In a ghost pepper, it is 1 million. So if you want to drop this pepper in your shot.
I don't even want to drink the pepper that's in the shot.
To show the type of man that you are, Ben. No. It's on the table right there. It's on the table right there.
That's the beauty of being old is that the sort of manly bravado tricks don't work once you get to be a certain age. You're like, nah, I don't need
to. You can drink that.
I don't need to jump off this high height, or I don't need to do this particularly dangerous thing.
It's on the table.
It is, and I may do it a little bit later.
Yeah, no, I don't want to see you puke.
But otherwise, I'll just hand the agenda to you and be like,
I'll probably have to drive you to like the emergency, which is not too far, the emergency room.
Yeah, but at this point, but you can taste the brown in the beer, and I'll just, as I'm rolling around on the ground, drinking milk, trying to put out the fire.
Stop, drop, and roll, like it's actual fire.
Just like
fire.
Sucking on oak leaves in my mouth, trying to get rid of it.
Yeah, so tonight's shot, it's a very simple shot.
There's a big old pepper in there.
It is Cazul. I think it's Cazul. Tequila. So it's actually an aged tequila. So it has a nice little bit of smokiness to it already. And inside the shot, we have the habanero pepper that's been soaking in there. It's an infused pepper shot with tequila. And on top of the habanero, we also have a little bit of Cholula. And Ben, I know how much you love the tahine on the rim.
You can put that on any shot.
And so on yours, Ben.
You can put it on fruit. You can put it on a sweet shot.
On your shot, I actually did crush the pepper a little bit in your shot to get a little bit of extra spice
just
in there. And I'm not even sure how to drink my shot because, I mean, your habanero pepper is actually floating on the top. And mine is sort of stuck to the glass on the bottom.
Yeah, because you got all the juices out into the glass. That's the problem. There's nothing left in it.
I hope so. And Ben,
I'm not eating
that
pepper.
Cheers to you. Actually, my shot looks like it has a little bit more tequila than yours.
You should probably eat the pepper, though. Don't be afraid to eat the pepper.
No, hell no. I'm not going to eat that. On the Scoville heat unit, Ben, it's a 200,000 to a 300,000, whatever that means. But
what's the highest again?
Oh, well, on the ghost pepper, it's 1 million. So that shows how much hotter that ghost pepper is.
Only five times.
But eventually, and this is actually, Ben, from your birthday gift, or no, from your was it your birthday or Christmas?
I think it was Christmas.
Was it Christmas? Yeah, you got me
Where's my water? Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. Right. Mine? I got mine right over here. Yeah, it's actually a it's a box of ingredients to make my own sort of hot sauce, and there's multiple peppers in there. There's the habanero, there's the ghost pepper, there is the there's a couple of others in there, the chipotle, I think it's the chipotle pepper in there as well. So there's quite a few, and I'll definitely make my own hot sauce eventually. I still have not gotten to it, but some of the ingredients are sitting right in these shot glasses right here.
All right,
Ben,
let's do it.
So cheers to
you. I'm afraid.
I don't know how spicy it's going to be, though. I don't know how much of it infused into the
more
shot.
In mine than yours, I'm guessing.
Hopefully.
Let's do it.
Hopefully.
Ooh! That's good.
It did. It infused.
Ah! That's good. Ah! Ah! Judith! Man.
But it's like a nice amount of spice. It's still a nice amount of spice in there. It's actually not, overly spicy, but there's that nice kick on the back of the throat right there. And now eat the pepper.
No way.
Oh, man.
That was good.
That was actually not bad.
Actually not as hot as I expected.
I should have crushed yours a little bit more. I should have crushed it a little bit more. I just didn't want you to, like, you know,
lose it
on the podcast, pretty much, or just like walk away.
All we gotta do is the excuse me, the brown taste and the beer. Yeah, you can know that.
I think if you ate that right now, your taste buds would be completely cooked before we do the brown of the week.
Oh, that's probably true. I might have to eat that afterwards.
Ooh.
And we can report back next week. But that was really, really good.
It was actually better than I expected.
The Cazul tequila has a different flavor.
It's distinct. It's more distinct, yeah.
I think I like the flavor.
Yeah, that's why I didn't use the clear tequila. I mean, this one is actually aged. So, I mean, it has the agave as usual, but it's also aged in barrels. So it has a little bit of that that brown-ish look to the tequila. It's not just a clear tequila. So I think that adds a little bit of the smokiness, a little bit of the spiciness. You get the tahine, you get the Cholula.
That's good. Another spicy shot next week.
And the good thing about these...
Brian's going to bring, like, straight-up corn
syrup. No, seriously, next week?
Corn syrup next week.
Next week,
All right. If you can make a shot with those, I'll do it.
We'll do the same. We'll do something very similar. If you want to,
let's do it with the Patron.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah.
Can you do it?
No, you.
You can make me one with the ghost pepper. You one without.
Yeah, but this was actually not. I mean, it was spicy. Actually, the habanero peppers actually did infuse into the shot more than I expected them to. Yours maybe even more because I actually crushed it a little bit on purpose.
That's why it was floating on the top. No, there's no more oil left in the pepper.
There's that too. Yeah. But I mean, the habanero peppers that we actually have here in the bag. Are actually dried already, which actually makes them a little. Don't are you eating that? You have it. Oh my god, Ben! You just put it in your mouth.
I'm not gonna know why you.
Yeah,
that.
No. If you try to.
Wow! I just put it in my mouth and then took it out of my mouth, and my whole mouth is burning right now. And that was just from letting it sit inside my mouth.
You know what? I just got the Cholula in my mouth. Let me try.
Just pick it out of there. You gotta stick a pin in there or something.
It's already too hot. It's already too hot.
The Cholula is too hot.
Look, I'm a lightweight, right?
It actually is way hotter than I expected. It's just letting it sit in my mouth and touch my tongue, it is really, really hot.
Yeah, that's actually, I think, hit the back of my throat. That's not good. Where was I?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, so. The habanero peppers, they're already dried up as it is. I mean, if you get the habanero, like the fresh habanero peppers from the store, I don't think it's be as spicy as habanero peppers that are already dried.
It won't be.
No. And the ghost peppers that we have here, already dried, man.
Aren't those supposed to be illegal?
Amazing the things you can love, buy. I would love to see you just bite into one of these ghost peppers and see how you react.
Yeah, maybe before the show next week. Hour before.
We won't have a show.
Like an hour, because that'll give me time to recover, sweat it out, you know, have a little go to the bathroom.
I don't know what the next day would look like.
It might not be. Well, it would probably include a little bit of time in the bathroom and uncomfortable time in the bathroom I'm guessing. But this was a really good shot. So what was the inspiration for the shot other than the...
You inspired me, Ben. You did inspire me. I mean, you sent me the recipe for this shot.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit different. I mean, the recipe on Pinterest, it was actually the habanero pepper. No, it was a scorpion pepper, which is... I think it might be a little bit spicier than the habanero, but less spicy than the ghost pepper.
Oh, for sure.
With a... I think it was an energy drink with a spicy vodka. I can't remember.
Exactly. Spice on top of spice on top of spice.
Yeah, exactly. And I was actually looking to get a spicy tequila because they actually have jalapeno infused tequila that you can purchase. And there's like they have like jalapeno cucumber, which I don't expect to be as hot as just basic jalapeno. I don't want any sort of like refreshing sort of flavors if you want spicy.
Of course not. Yeah. All right, fine. So where would you rate this particular shot
I would say this is an 8.
But you got to put the pepper in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth.
I did.
Yeah, but for a second.
Yeah, longer than you did. And it was very, very... My mouth is still hot.
I would say an 8.
I'm going to give it a 10.
Of course. Put the ghost pepper in there and see how you feel about that.
I'd still say 10. The shot itself was a 10.
Yeah, well, I'd say an 8. It was spicy enough, but yours might have been spicier because I did go out of my way to crush that habanero in there.
For sure. All right, Friday, can't wait for the next spicy shot. What's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our beverage of the week, which is the Larceny Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey Small Batch. 92 proof.
Oh, I can't wait to taste that. I want to take a quick break, and we'll come back with the bourbon taste of this week. Hold tight, everyone.
Oh, man. I love that lead-in music, Ben. It just takes me back to Europe where we need to go this summer. We were talking about that before the podcast.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we had to get that bumper. So that
I love Frane that bumper.
Had a little bit of his magic.
I love the EDM bumpers on the podcast. There it is. There it is. Yeah. We could listen to that on loop.
Yeah, probably the most inappropriate bumper for what we're about to do.
Not really. I mean, okay, maybe for if it was like Scotch, then maybe it'd be different because I'm sure that's what they'd be listening to.
EDM is super popular in rural Kentucky.
Well, yeah, exactly. It might be. I don't even know. I don't live in rural Kentucky.
It would be strange
Kentucky.
If it were, but I wouldn't be shocked if it were.
It might be, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, little kids driving on like those rural roads over there. This is the EDM.
And their Mazda RX-7s. Franny, what is next on the big board?
RX-7's not bad. I mean, like the old ones. Next up on the big board, Ben, we have our beverage of the week, which is the Larceny Small Batch 92 Proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And it is actually a bourbon that I actually had a few years ago, like I mentioned earlier on the podcast. And, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of it, but I also didn't sample as many bourbons at that point as I have now. I mean, on this podcast, like I said, it's 121
yeah, it was
episodes
Glenlivet,
now.
Glenlivet.
I love,
else?
I love
Glenlivet, Glenlivet. Something else.
I love scotches, but you know, bourbons weren't something that I was a big fan of. But we've had obviously bourbons on the show. We have rye on the show, scotches, cognacs, everything that we sample on the show. And this one is something that I tried on, well, not on the podcast, but just way back in the day, I did try this, and I was not a huge fan of it. But now I have a better understanding of the flavors of
something
bourbon.
That's not Glenlivet.
That's not, yeah, well, shut up. Yeah. Come on, all the Glenlivets that we've had, the 12, the 14,
know,
the 15,
the
18.
But the Glenroths is better. The Glenroths is better.
That, well, also the price is also different as well. You know, you go from a $25 12 year to a $50 12 year, you better expect that $50 12 year is to be better. But the
life
Larceny
is worth living, Franny.
That Larceny, you know, this Larceny that I tried a few years back, I wasn't a huge fan, but now I'm a little more,
open to it.
I guess open to it. I have a little more experience in the different flavors in certain bourbons, and you know, I know which certain flavors to expect from bourbon. So you know, let's see how I feel about this now, 2 years removed from my first taste test or sampling of Larceny.
All right. Yeah, this is the Larceny Small Batch 92 Proof. Discover a taste worth stealing. Made with wheat instead of rye. As the secondary grain, their signature wheated bourbon delivers a smoother taste that's hard to resist. Small Batch has been getting away with gold awards for a long, long time. Oh, we got the Brown Song this week, finally.
I like this, Ben.
So they got a double gold in 2019.
This is your song.
Yeah. As Franny got my homage to Franny. Can't even think. Homage to Franny for turning me on to the Browns.
You're
my homage. So they had a SIP Awards double gold in 2019, San Francisco World Spirits Competition gold in 2020, and the Ultimate Spirits Challenge 91 points in 2018.
Pretty impressive.
The tasting notes, bright, or the color, bright new copper. The aroma, fresh bread and toffee with a note of butterscotch. The taste is buttery caramel and honeyed notes with a rich mouthfeel. The finish is long, gently sweet, and savory. They put it in a Moscow Kentucky Mule or a Kentucky Mule. And the same company, they make what is that?
The Old Fitzgerald?
The Old Fitzgerald, which is allegedly one of the best buys for a bourbon in that category for the, you know, for the affordable
price range
category. And what is that one? Is that barrel-proof
bourbon? Yeah, barrel-proof. So it's usually a little bit stronger than the small batch. You know, probably about 50% alcohol, somewhere on there.
Ooh,
most likely.
Might have to try that one if we like this.
It's funny. I didn't see it on the shelf. I mean, I saw this one, but I didn't see the small batch over there or the barrel proof over there.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see it. Pretty interesting.
Grab the brown. I'm just gonna take the. Drink it down. Yeah, I was going to turn down the volume, but I'm like, I like hearing myself.
You know, I do you really now?
We'll lower. Well, let's just lower.
After 121 sure, episodes, do you really love hearing your voice on a podcast?
I'll lower
Ben.
That down.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
All right, Freddie, what do you think of the color?
I mean, the color.
It is a beautiful copper color.
It is actually a very nice copper color. And, you know, the price range of this particular bourbon is not that high. I mean, it's basically $23. You know, I mean, we've had a few others within that price range that were also, you know, fairly good, too. The Elijah Craig, also around $23, was a very solid bourbon. And, you know, let's give this a shot, Ben. Let's see how it tastes. Well, let's see how it smells first. On the nose.
Oh, it's got a nice sweet nose.
It actually smells really nice on the nose. A nice
it's
vanilla.
Got a little bite on the nose. I'm finding a little bit of a bite in there.
A little bit of bite, but a nice vanilla sort of scent to it, too. Like a nice
and
sweet
I love
vanilla.
I miss smelling the vanilla in my mother's kitchen.
That is actually, I mean, there's almost like a little bit of spice in there as well, like a vanilla spice.
I get a little bit of a sugar, like a sort of a sweet, I don't know if it's butterscotch, but just a little bit of a little bit of a sweet nose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite get the bread. I don't really get the bread.
Maybe sweet bread. But it smells really nice.
It's a little wheaty, but maybe bready a little bit.
I don't remember nosing this thing the first time I had it.
No, you're just like, it's not Glenlivet.
No, I just remember, you know,
what
the first time.
What is that you're giving me, not Glenlivet?
The first time I had it, I remember it was like very nutty in.
Oh, like,
you know,
Jim Beam?
In the flavor pool. Very Jim Beamish. Yeah, for like it was like that. So, you know, let's give this another shot. Let me see if I still get those nutty notes coming through. But on the nose, it smells really nice. I mean, it smells like it has like a little bit of just that little bit of harshness to it, which I do appreciate.
Yeah,
you know, for any bourbon, for any scotch, just a little bit of burn on the back of the throat.
It doesn't smell quite as soft as a lot of bourbons.
Yeah.
A lot of bourbons have that soft, sweet, even through the mouthfeel, even through the flavor, it's a little bit too sweet.
Yeah, not that it's pungent or anything. It's like really too, it's like overly overpowering. It's just, you know, you can sense a little bit of that spiritiness to it. But cheers
Let's
to
do
you,
it,
Ben.
Even at 92 proof.
Yeah. Let's give it a shot.
Well, that's nice.
It's actually,
it's got a nice spice to it. It's got a nice.
It's got an. I mean, it has actually.
It's got a nice.
I mean, I get,
sweet.
I get the nutty notes. I'm getting a lot of the peanutty sort of notes to it, but it's like almost like a coated peanut with caramel and vanilla.
Not getting the peanuts.
See, no.
No, nope.
It's like obvious.
I mean, well,
it's almost
you're
like
programmed for peanuts.
No, but it's like a nuttiness.
You're PFP.
You're not getting any nuttiness.
No, you're PFP.
Ben, you're not nutting in your mouth right now.
I'm not nutting in my own mouth. Then I probably wouldn't have a podcast.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not getting nuts.
Nope. You really have you're programmed for nuttiness.
Let me help you.
taste the peanut.
Let me come around the table here. No, but seriously, like, there's that distinct nutty, vanilla, caramel.
I don't get
it. Nope. Well,
I'm getting a little bit of sweetness, a little bit of caramel.
No nut.
Oh, nope. No nut. Just a little bit of spice. A nice amount of spice for a bourbon.
No,
almost
it's a nice,
rye-like spice.
But it's actually smoother than it smells, though. Like
you could taste peanuts from a mile away.
On the nose, like you would expect a lot of burn, like a lot of harshness. But like once it goes down, just there's a little bit of burn. But then the sweetness really kicks in, a lot of the vanilla, but I'm getting the caramel, but then like that nuttiness. And it's funny because I had Sonia taste it before we did, and she said that she also got that sort of
I don't get it.
Like sort of almost peanutty sort of flavor. But what I also like about it,
I don't get the nuttiness,
is the creaminess.
I don't get it. It's creamy,
a nice,
it's honey.
Creamy mouthfeel.
It's spicy. It's robust, but I don't get the peanuts. But you would Jim Beam. You can taste it, you could smell it, and know that it's Jim Beam,
mm-hmm.
and get the peanut and get all that from, you know, from 6 inches away.
I'm surprised. Like I could, I just like
you. You're programmed for it.
The second I like just sip on it, It's like taking a handful of peanuts and chewing on them for a long period of time and just having them sit in your mouth.
Oh, Lord. No, really?
I'm serious.
So that's, peanut butter is essentially what you're saying.
It's peanut buttery goodness.
Peanut butter made of saliva.
No, but I don't mind the peanut butteriness or the peanutness in this particular bourbon because it has that sort of sweetness behind it that follows with a little bit of
heartness.
I am
getting a flavor I can't recognize. And it might be nuts, but it's not.
That creaminess. Peanuts. That's actually a very nice amount of creaminess, a good mouthfeel for a bourbon at, you know, $23. This is actually very good. I mean, the Elijah Craig is also very good, but the Larceny actually, after trying so many bourbons on this podcast, I think it's sort of grown on me. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Henry. Henry.
Jesus. Jesus help me. No, but seriously, I mean, this is actually better than I remember it being.
Well, because before then you were kind of a snob.
I wasn't a snob. I just didn't drink a lot of bourbons. I drink a lot of scotches.
Or a lot of Islay scotches. Not
even a lot of Islay scotches. I just preferred the smooth drinking goodness of like
of a
space side.
Love it.
Not even like, I mean, well, that's a good 12 year scotch, but I mean, just like scotches in general. I mean, it's just like a smooth, like, you know what to expect from those sorts of beverages. Whereas this one, I mean, all bourbons are a little bit different. This one.
Yeah. And this is not,
I appreciate it a little bit more now.
Yeah. What I would say is it's not your typical bourbon. It's not your sweet,
but
savory. But without anything else. I mean, a lot of bourbons are very soft, sweet, you know, with that bourbon flavor that you become accustomed to.
Yeah.
This one's got the spice. It's got a nice savory, long finish on it.
Not that I'm opposed to, like, peanut flavors or, like, nutty flavors.
You seem to find them.
No, I mean, but
you're like one of those like guys with the divining rod looking for water. You're, like, looking for, and you just, like, it goes, like, it just bends down when you get near peanuts.
No, but, I mean, but, like, Jim Beam is, like, straight nut.
I don't even taste the nut in Jim Beam.
See, but whereas this one, it's like it's almost like a candied sort of nuttiness.
A candied nut.
Yeah.
So it's like Halloween at the worst house to go to.
That's what she said.
Hey. Here's a popcorn ball. Would you like a popcorn
ball? Candied nut.
candied nut.
But seriously though, I mean, it is actually better than what I remember, and I think that has a lot to do with all of the other bourbons that we've tried on the show and the sort of, you know, distinct flavors that you get from a bourbon. But this one has that little bit of just like almost like a candied nuttiness that you get on the finish.
It doesn't say I'm a bourbon.
Yeah, no, it doesn't have that. There's not a lot of smokiness to it. You know, there's not that smokiness. It's more of a sweetness, nuttiness that you're not tasting.
Sonny, do you taste the nuts? Nuts? Do you taste them? Do you taste them? Oh, okay, Franny, I taste them.
No, but I can't believe, I just took another sip, and I can't believe that you're not getting it. It's like, drink this. I'm gonna have to find some, like, caramel nuts or something.
Yeah, I mean, I get a little bit of there's a flavor in there that I can't quite put my finger on, but I don't think it's peanuts.
There's a little bit of butterscotchiness, but there's just that.
I don't get it.
If you put peanuts in Jim Beam. If you just put peanuts in your mouth and you chew on them and just chew on them and chew on them, it almost turn them into like peanut butter in your own mouth. That's almost like what this is.
Yep. Nope.
But with a little bit. Okay.
Nope. I give up. Maybe that part of my tongue is not functional.
Maybe.
But I don't even get the nuts in the Jim Beam. I just don't get it. I don't get the peanuts in Jim Beam either. Yeah,
I don't know how. But this is actually better than, it's way better than I expect, than I remember it being.
Where would you rate it on our Thirsty Gold rating scale of 0 to 10?
You know, I mean, based off of what we tried on our Thirsty Gold scale of beverages that are the browns, you know, this is on the lower end of the price range. You know, this is about $23. We've tried things up to $250, Ben. So, I mean, it's like, it's kind of hard to rate it, but for what it is.
It's like listening to Tony Romo call a game.
No, it's not. I'm way better. But for what it is at $23, for the flavors that are coming through.
For a bourbon.
I would say this is in... You know, I'd say it's a 9. I'm really surprised that I'm giving that type of...
I'd love to put it next to a Pappy.
a rating, but it's so much better than what I remember it being. It really is. It's actually, I mean, it's not that it's complex, but the flavors that are coming through are so distinct, and I enjoy the entire flavor profile. Where do you rate it, Ben?
I'm gonna give it an 8.
It's smooth, right? It's smooth. I mean, I know you don't get the nuttiness, but that nice nutty, creamy, caramelly, vanilla-y, slightly honey sort of flavor coming through.
It's really nice. And they make a nice line. The Old Fitzgerald, which is great. They make this one. They make the Barrel Proof bourbon as well. So they have a very small line. And it looks like they make a high-quality product at a low price.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Jim Beam is really low priced. Jack Daniel's really low priced.
Daniel's is not a bourbon, technically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like what? Like 50, for this size bottle, it's like a...
$15.99. Maybe even less, depending on where you purchase it.
But I think this is a really nice bourbon. Because, one of the issues I have with a lot of bourbons is that unless I'm in the right mood, unless I have a cigar or something... A lot of the bourbons are too soft. They're too sweet.
Well, also what I don't
like
about...
They're too fruit. They're not fruity, but they're just too sweet. Too much vanilla. Too powdery.
But what I don't like
about...
And this
one's got a little bit of a bite to it, which I would expect from a rye.
And I don't like the woodiness. You get a lot of woodiness from those other bourbons. This one, you're not getting the oakiness to it. It's just... it's there's maybe just a little bit there, but it dissipates very quickly. And you're getting a lot of those sweeter notes coming through in this particular bourbon.
Yeah, this one to me is in one of those fancy office glasses, those crystal glasses. Like when you have a tough day and you're sitting at your desk, you know, the green light is, you know, the green, whatever you call those lampshades with the green lampshades.
The long lampshade, like the long ones.
Yeah, and you're just about to wrap up for the day, like, and you're just 19, like, you know what, I've had enough of this, but I'm still in my office.
Like the early 1990s, like with the little switch that you pull down on.
Yeah,
it. Yeah.
You reach into the drawer.
With the long light bulb on there that's not even, like, it's
healthy.
It's an incandescent. It's not like a fluorescent or an LED. It's like you want to, like, burn electricity.
Yeah, you touch it, you light a piece of paper on fire.
Oh, yeah, those.
That, to me, is that bourbon.
Yeah.
Like, that sits on the cart in the crystal glass, you know. I'm sure there are better bourbons, obviously, but this is a nice
for the price.
After
for the price
bourbon,
yeah, for the price, man, $23. That's a solid fucking bourbon.
Yeah, the best bang for your buck in a brown. Yeah. Wait, the best bang for your buck
in a brown. Oh yeah,
is bourbon.
Yeah.
You can get a really nice bourbon for $25.
For a couple dollars more, you can get it. Pretty decent scotch too.
But I mean, in terms of like for a brown, $23, you get a nice bourbon. You can't get a nice scotch for $23.
For $25, you can get the Glenlivet 12, which is smooth.
I think I would take this one over the Glenlivet 12.
You see, I it depends on what you want in the drink. I mean, this one is a little bit sweeter, nuttier, creamier.
It's spicier and more punch.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I'd still go with
a little bit.
I'd still go with the scotch.
I don't think I would.
Shame us.
I don't think I would.
Yeah, I know, but that's
I've been spending my time down there with the animals all day. I don't want this.
With the animals?
Yeah, I got the sheep. I got the cows down there. I need something with a little punch at the end of the day.
I don't know if that's scotch anymore.
I don't think it is.
No, but
this is why I don't. They don't let me vote for independence. No one knows where I'm from.
I don't know. But I heard your voice echo from, like, the neighboring houses over here.
Scotland, they have a vote for independence every couple of years, and they say, Ben, you can't vote. No one knows where you're from.
Yeah, but, it's good. For the price that it is a very solid
and I finished
bourbon.
It.
And you did? I haven't finished mine. Actually, almost, pretty much. But a 9 for me and an 8 for you, Ben.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. The habanero pepper's having a little effect on me.
Just a little bit.
All right. Friday, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our beer of the week from the San Fernando Valley 818 Brewing Company. It is the Reseda Rye IPA, and we'll open that up in just a moment.
Yeah, I can't wait to taste this one from Canoga Park, California. can't wait to taste a really local
beer.
It's like
2 miles down the road.
It's 2 miles down the road. These guys know what they're doing. We hope, and we'll taste it and be right back.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, they do. We'll be right back with our beer of the week.
All right, and we are back with our beer of the week from the San Fernando Valley, the 818 Brewing Company. Ben, I was born and raised in the...
And you still live.
And still live in the great 18.
I was born, also raised, and I also live.
Live, currently. We recorded this
and
podcast.
And also trying to buy a place
in the 818. Yeah, exactly. But, you know,
Friday's goal is to never move more than 1 mile.
No, man, if I could move to Europe in a second, I would, man. Don't get me wrong.
But you can't.
If I had a job there, I would. If I had a job waiting for me.
Have you looked for a job there?
Europe. I've actually looked online.
Have you?
I actually have.
Teaching English, you know, as a second language courses?
That's probably not the best thing that I can do is teach English. I'm very proud of this brewing company named after the 818,
of course,
the area
of course.
Code of my place of birth, Ben.
Yes, and I'm proud of any beer coming from the 845, formerly the 914 area code in upstate New York. Unfortunately, I don't know how many beers we have coming from there.
None yet. We haven't tried
any.
Actually,
we probably do.
Maybe you could be the first, Ben. Maybe move back and be the first brewing company from your neck of the woods.
They make beer, but I think Total Wine is too snobby.
Yeah,
carry beers from the great,
you know, live,
Hudson Valley region of New York State.
You know, live in Chatsworth, went to middle school in Northridge, went to high school in Chatsworth, went to college in Northridge, and this particular beer from Canoga Park, the great 18.
Well, we're trying to figure out a way we can get Franny to get his PhD or master's degree out of state. That is our goal.
Yeah, I know, right? Find a different area code, motherfucker.
I'm going to get my master's degree at the University of Wisconsin next to Aaron Rodgers and his wife.
Well, we'll see if she's going to become his wife.
Guessing the second that Aaron Rodgers is no longer a Green Bay Packer, I don't think he's going to have a residence in Wisconsin.
I'm sure he will.
No, he's going to run to New York City.
I mean, you saw him in that video where he was like in the back of that truck. Picking up like it might have been Labatt or something.
I don't think. Yeah, you can't. Well, Wisconsin is what? Wisconsin
is not that far away.
Milwaukee isn't. Milwaukee's in. Isn't Milwaukee in Wisconsin? No, Milwaukee is in Minnesota. Wait, what state is Milwaukee?
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. But where's Milwaukee? Milwaukee's in
Milwaukee. Is it
Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
No?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't even know.
All of our fans are now like turning the dial down. Like, how do you not know where Milwaukee is?
Well, I mean, after those habanero shots, I'm not sure where anything is right now. But we have the Reseda Rye IPA from the 818 Brewing Company right down the road in Canoga Park.
Jesus. Yeah. It scared me for a second. I was like, oh my God.
I was thinking like, you know, it could be...
Missouri?
No, like Minnesota or something. I don't know. I mean, why not?
Well,
it's around there.
But you can see the educational quality of the 818 public schools.
I mean, come on.
Is it Milwaukee and Oklahoma?
There's 50 states. Who the fuck's going to get all of them right?
Milwaukee's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Where's Boise?
Idaho.
There you go.
See, I know
it. But you weren't a Laverne and Shirley fan, right?
I know a thing or two.
I know a thing. I learned it. What is that commercial? I know a thing or two because I learned it. What is that, like State Farm or something?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make fun of you. You could ask me every...
No, I don't care. You can make fun of me as much as you want.
You could ask me any city in Europe, and I'm going to get the country wrong.
See, I know it's funny because I know European...
Sonny's like, we can take the shuttle and we can go west. And Fry's like, no. No, that's the wrong country.
You can't go that way.
You can't go that way. Belgium is not. No, that's not where Belgium
is. It's not that direction.
Yeah. So, yeah, Friday knows European geography better
than funny
just about anyone that I know that lives in Europe.
And, Ben, do you have some information for us for this 818 Brewing Company?
I do, but they don't.
Oh, they don't have any.
Well, they do. They have a very minimal amount of information.
I'm surprised because they're always posting on Instagram. I'm sure they're always posting on Twitter as well. I'm surprised they don't have a website.
Oh, they have a website.
Oh.
But they just have very little amount of information from the San Fernando Valley 818 Brewing Company.
I don't even care.
It's a Reseda Rye IPA. It's a Session India Session Ale. 4.9% alcohol by volume, 36 IBU. Not too bitter.
Yeah, but it smells nice.
Reseda Rye is an homage to growing up in Reseda, as Tom Petty would say. As did one of the owners of 818 Brewing who grew up in Reseda. They spiced this Session Ale IPA with 10% rye malt and dry hopped her with Mosaic. wait, why isn't this opening?
Is that opening up?
Yeah, you see that? There's a little area.
This is not our first beer that we've had on the show from the 818. We had that growler that I brought over. Oh, it was probably like maybe our third or fourth podcast. I think it was just one of their IPAs. I can't remember exactly which IPA it was, but I don't think it was the Reseda Rye IPA though. You're still trying to. Who the fuck is running? Somebody's lighting off fireworks right now. What the hell are people?
It's 11:30 at night in the 818. So
I was giving too many props to 818.
Has there been? I mean,
it could be gunshots. Who knows?
It could be a win. My dog is over here, right here on top of me now. Not sure exactly what's happening.
You got your glass right there in front of you, Ben.
Let's give it a taste. Cheers or a sniff.
You. Cheers to you. Let's give it a sniff. And I mean, the hoppy notes that are coming through are very nice. But what I'm getting is like almost like a.
Oh, it's nice and hoppy.
It's like a nice thick hoppy note.
Oh, it's got no weediness, no dryness to it.
It's almost like hoppy.
It's got a nice, tight citrus, there's like a bit of
pastriness to it too. There's like a little bit of pastry note to it. Are you getting that?
Little bready, little bit of a pastry note.
Yeah, let's see how it tastes. I mean, the color is. There we are. I mean, the color is a nice dark golden color. Not a lot of head on it. I would want a little bit more crispness. No, it's nice.
Actually, that's a really nice IPA.
It is actually much.
It's crisp. It's clean. It's
better.
It's
than I expected.
Tight.
And it has a nice crispness to it. It has a nice, it's not overly hoppy. You get the nice hoppy notes coming in.
But not crazy hoppy, not crazy bitter, although I do like a more bitter IPA, obviously.
But it's almost like a light IPA. What's the let me see the alcohol content. It's only 4.9%, which is pretty low for an IPA. I mean, IPAs are generally higher than that. That's why you get that easy drinkability to this, and it goes down smooth.
It's got a good carbonation, too.
Actually, better than I expected because there's not a lot of head on the glass itself. But this is actually a very solid IPA. This is actually very fucking good.
Oh, my! You act surprised.
I mean, I just didn't expect it because everything that I usually pick up from Total Wine has a rating behind it. This one had absolutely no rating whatsoever. They have all of their other varieties on the shelf there. And we had that IPA, it's probably been a couple of years now since we had that IPA from the growler that I picked up, just straight from the brewery. And that one was not as good as this one.
I mean, it could use a little bit more citrus, a little bit more bitterness, but it's nice.
I'm not going to knock it for that, but because of the lower alcohol content. So I didn't expect all of that sort of hoppiness and that thickness that you sort of get from it. This is like a nice, light, smooth drinking IPA that has a lot of flavor.
It's a lawnmower IPA.
It almost is. That's actually a very good description, Ben. I mean, it's something that you can definitely drink after
not a full body, dry, not necessarily refreshing IPA.
There's some really nice fucking flavors there. I mean, it's really good IPA where you're getting those hoppy notes, those citrusy notes. You're getting that crispness on the finish as well, but it's not heavy.
It's almost like an IPA meets Bud.
This is like an IPA for Reseda in the hot summer months in the 818 when it's 105 degrees outside.
At least.
And you, and it, at least exactly, because it could be more. But this is like the perfect hot day IPA in the valley. Man, good kudos to the 818 brewery, right?
Yeah, and you were saying you didn't want to taste any more IPAs.
Well, like, if,
IPAs
oh, come on.
Are everywhere. I can't escape them. They're just
that's not true.
Ubiquitous
that's not true.
With the IPAs.
It's just we've had multiple IPAs on the show, but this IPA, this particular IPA, for what it is, I mean, it's an IPA, but it's a distinct IPA. It's like
it's nice.
It's nice. It's actually much, much better than I expected. Yeah, nice, right?
I mean, it's refreshing,
mm-hmm.
which is not something you want typically from an IPA. You want something that's got a bite. It's dry. It's hoppy.
It's bitter. Heaviness to it.
It's
this
heavy.
One doesn't have heaviness.
It goes together with like a hamburger or a steak mm-hmm. or something.
I mean, this one could too, but it's just. I mean, it has those flavors there, but they're not overpowering. It's a nice, just a nice light IPA that you can enjoy in hot weather. And I think the name of it alone. You know, knowing
yeah, well, yeah,
where
I was
we're
gonna
from,
ask,
man.
Why
I mean,
did you choose this from? Or why did you choose this well, from?
Because I'm very...
Why did you choose this from? No, why did you choose this particular beer?
Oh, I'm familiar with Reseda, obviously. I mean, it's not that far away either. And, I mean, they have their amber ale. I think this is their Matador amber ale. They have their blonde as well, which is more weedy, and we're not really into those weedy type of beers. I think there's a double IPA that they also have on the shelf there. But the reason I picked this one up because wait, you want the bottle? You want that? You want the rest of that?
I want that can.
You want that can right there? You know, but the reason I picked it up was because it was just I didn't want anything heavy. I didn't expect it to be heavy, but I expect it to be heavier than this. You know, this is like a nice, light, drinkable IPA.
Nice head.
There's actually some nice head right there that you just poured into there. But man, that is actually way better than I expected.
Really?
Way better than I expected.
What, you doubt Canoga Park?
I don't. Well, no. We should actually go and
I'm
hang out.
I'm actually trying to get Franny to look for a place to live in Canoga Park.
We should actually go and hang out there, Ben. They're actually starting to open up once again after all of the restrictions that we had for COVID, and you know, just pop in and give one of these local breweries some, you know.
Do they have like a beer garden or like an outside area or something?
They do. They actually have an out. They
could record the podcast from there.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good idea right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we could get the actual mobile recorder instead of the actual interface. We could get, I could get like one of those Zoom recorders and we could mm-hmm. actually do it right from there.
Mm-hmm. We can have people come in, ask questions too. And yeah, that'd be pretty interesting.
It would be probably very, very interesting. To hear what the people would have to say
about
at 11:30 at night in Canoga Park at the 818 Brewery. That might be really interesting, especially during the season.
But it's like on the border of like Chatsworth, Canoga Park. It's like right there, right on the border. Like right, what's the gym there? What is
Powerhouse.
Like?
They changed their name.
I think that's the Crunch Gym now. Yeah. And then across the street is
damn
like
you, corporate America.
I think it's like a 24-hour fitness or something like that. Like right across the street. Yeah. It's not but like within that area. I mean, you're very familiar with that. Like on DeSoto.
Yeah.
DeSoto and like, is it Nordoff? I don't even know. Yeah. But I'm very impressed with this particular IPA. Very good.
And where would you rate it, Friday, on our Thursday goal? Rating scale of 0 to 10.
You know, I would give this a 9. It's not the perfect IPA, but it is perfect in certain parts of the year. Like I could totally see myself drinking this in the spring and the summer months if I want like a full flavored beer that's not too heavy. This is a very good. It's almost perfect for those.
It's up there with the Allagash. With their lighter IPA that we had.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we had an IPA from them. Did we have an IPA from them?
I
think it was a Trappel. I think.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we had the Trappel. Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, it reminds me a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
But very good.
Though,
I'm also going to give it a 9. Franny is playing the craps table. He's playing the field tonight. He's got a 9 and a 9. Ben has an 8 and a 9. But this was what, I mean, it was nice.
Yeah, no, this is, I mean, I don't usually finish a glass. I mean, like, I'll usually just sample a beer that we're trying on the show. But this one, I'll probably finish the entire glass. I mean, this is actually much better than I expected. Because I just like those nice, hoppy, citrusy notes, but it's also light at the same time. And if it was a warmer night, like last week, or even next week will be.
Yeah, this week I got my hat on.
Perfect, Ben. And if you do the lawn next week, you have 3 more of these sitting in the cooler for you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh.
Yeah, it's
really fresh.
I'm sure it hasn't been sitting on the shelf that long.
I mean, Total Wine, you know, you get a little snobby in there. But, I mean, because they're made so locally,
mm-hmm.
they're really fresh and really good.
Yeah. And let's see, what does it say right here on the side of the can? It says, Reseda Rye is, did we read this? Is an homage. Did we read that?
That wasn't on their website.
To growing up in Reseda. Okay, this is pretty much the same shit that we just read. But
all right.
But a very good, a very solid IPA. And I mean, if I'm not sure where else they sell this other than the San Fernando Valley in Total Wine over here. I'm not even sure if you can find this in the Thousand Oaks Total Wine or Total Wines around the country, but if you do find it on the shelf, this is a very solid IPA.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Franny, what's next up on the big board?
Next up on the big board, Ben, is our housekeeping to finish up the show.
Oh, that's depressing. Dak Prescott, the number one deep ball passer in all of the NFL, probably the best quarterback in the NFC, absent Tom Brady. But we are a show, Thirsty Gold Podcast, about football.
That's
fun.
Preposterous.
Friends, whiskey and beer reviews, please head to our website at thirstygold.buzzsprout.com. There you can subscribe and listen to all of our past episodes and get our show notes and links to all of the stories that we cover and all the bourbons, the scotches, the ryes, and the cognacs that we review. You get links to all the podcatchers in the universe. You can download the podcast from there and leave a review. How many stars, Franny?
5 stars, Ben.
Just pound it. Crush it. Just stand over it and taunt it. Just taunt that 5-star review button.
Penalty. Penalty.
5 yards. Yeah, maybe it'll be 15 yards next season. You can email us at podcastthirstygold@gmail.com. You can call us at the number in the show notes. You can follow us on Franny's amazing, soon to be award winning Instagram account for photography at Thursday.
As long as I post the pictures, yeah.
Yeah. You can always get it on Wednesday or Thursday of the week following the Saturday episode. You can get links on Twitter as well, or all the episodes and the episode information on Twitter at Gold Thirst, and check out all of the information there. So we truly, truly appreciate you. Franny, anything else to add before we tell our fans adieu?
Nothing else to add, Ben, except for thank you so very much, everybody out there, for listening.
And thank you, and we'll see you next week.